Hello and welcome to the Computer Game Show. My name's David Turner and I'm here with Sean Bell.
Yo.
And Matt Murray.
Yo.
We'd like to start the show this week as we usually start
Come on.
The show.
Who's that?
Oh, who's this?
Sorry.
This is
outrageous.
Just a force of habit.
This is getting worse
it's just
and worse.
It's just a force of habit, James. Mm. It's, you know, I'm so used to just saying Sean and Matt's name that it's wild that you're here.
Yeah.
That's, how you doing? You had a nice break again, did you?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, really nice holiday.
Okay, we'd like to thank our Patreon producers this month. They are the QuickBooks chap, Simon Nelson, Moomin Biscuit, Trans Rights to Human Rights, Dave Ernsberger, Colin Brown, Gasman, Rocketman76, Grey Dragon Claw, Smooth Monkey, Colin Smith, Richard Sawyer, John Tempelli, Jackie Sniper, Gordon Garrow, Safe As Records, Sam Higton, Jonathan Edwards, Fred Fenge, Tom S, Ryan Cobain, Josh Hunt, and we've got a new Fault Nails member, a new Fault Nails! It is Yul McCuel. Welcome to the crew. And I will struggle with that every week.
Yul McCuel. I think we're being taken for a ride here, Dave. Someone's trying to trip us up. No, I don't think it's anything obscene. I just think they're like, Dave won't be able to fucking read this out.
And we've got another Fall Nails member, a big old Fanny Flaps. That's just a normal name, isn't it?
Name. It's my mum's name.
No, thank you, Yul McCuel. Welcome to the crew. And What have I done wrong now?
No, Sean was vulgar.
Words was he?
I said that's my mum's
Sean's
name.
Sean's got it in him, hasn't he? He's got it in him to be vulgar once in a while. It's crazy. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TCGS. We are not owned by a big media outlet.
Or a small
one. We do everything off our own back. And it costs money. So if you would like to thank us or support us, then please go to patreon.com/TCGS. And if you can't afford that, then tell your mates. Tell all your mates that we exist and we are brilliant. Should we get some feedback from last week's show? I mean, surely we should get some from James first before we get them for the listeners.
Yeah, I've got 3 points from last week's show.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's more the fucking Chelsea you got recently, isn't it?
Very good, very good. You can't support West Ham now. It's
Oh yeah, you got over the bubble thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm totally into that.
Go on.
Love David Moyes. Anyway, it's these are like I've got these are kind of Matt heavy. The first two are Matt.
Right.
I just want to first of all. I mean, obviously, there's the continued defence of Jeff Keighley. I still don't understand this at all.
Like he was questioning himself last week.
He was.
He said, "Why am I always defending him?" And we don't know, Matt. We do not know. But once again, defending him for sticking a knife in.
Yeah. What was I defending him for this time, James?
Generally it seems to be the whole, like, you know, the same argument of, you know, at least he's doing something.
I don't think I used those words.
No, that was it. You were defending him last week because we said how out of all it was that he tweeted 10 minutes after the news broke about E3 going, well, Summer Games Fest next year. And we just went, leave it a little bit, mate. And you were like, no, he doesn't need to. It's marketing.
Why
you defend them.
You would.
Well, he would. Right. Yeah.
He did.
He would.
Yeah.
Go on.
Then the other thing was, I'm still not sure, Matt, what are you enjoying about Starfield? Because I'm still not sure.
Oh, God.
From that conversation.
You've asked that question out 2 or 3 weeks.
No,
so
I've not. I've not been on.
Oh, yeah,
you've
been on.
Can we save that for the
Starfield
chat?
So, you know.
Because it is coming up again this week, I assume. So,
is it?
Maybe. Have you played much more of it? Matt.
Nah, I can't be fucked.
He's not going back to it now. He's done. You done?
It's still my machine, but I don't really. I think I might have done couple of missions. Well, we should save this, but
we should save it.
Okay. He's done. That's it.
I think I might be done.
Okay. And what's your last one, James?
The last one is Sean. Pablo Honey is not a shit album. Like not by a long shot. It's got quite a few bangers on that album. It's a nice album. Like, come on, Ripcord. That's a brilliant song. There's so much. There's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, but compared to what Radiohead went on to do, it's like
that's
just
true. Yeah, but obviously
indie album.
It's more than an alright indie
rainbows
album. Come on,
It's not as good. Right, okay. We are now we've got two middle-aged white men arguing over the, over Radiohead albums.
Either way,
I think
it's not
we've
shit.
Plummeted about as low as we possibly can in our podcasting career. Should we get some feedback? The proper feedback, the ones from the listeners.
Real feedback. We're going to start with Gasman, Four Nails, Gasman. A little bit of feedback from 2 weeks ago, which was one of the rare shows with James on it. In the questions section about a computer game character, about being a computer game character for a day, James answered, swing around London like Spider-Man. Not a lot of note was given to this answer, but really, really think about it. He didn't say as Spider-Man, but like Spider-Man, which means it will be a 40-something-year-old man in perhaps not an athletic physique in a professor's outfit, swinging around London going, wee! Much love.
I mean, honestly, that is genuinely what I meant. I didn't mean as Spider-Man. I meant I want the ability to just do that myself. But
I mean, that's the difference. You, you look up, you see Spider-Man, you go, holy shit, it's Spider-Man. But if you look up and see James doing it, you'd be like, what's happened? Why has he got a suit on?
Do you think it comes with the suit, though? I reckon it's just James in his normal clothes.
No, it's James in his normal clothes.
Sorry, I thought you said
why is he just in his trousers and a dark t-shirt? What does it say on that dark t-shirt?
It's
Yannick Clavy.
Yes, it's the Yannick.
Yannick.
You know. And then someone goes, what? Yannick Clavy, man? Is that what he's... Is that his superhero?
Yeah. And then it cut to London Tonight. Yannick Claverman, the new superhero.
Foils bank robbery. Wouldn't your arms just like snap off or at least dislocate?
This is fantasy.
You
know,
I say that about like all the films where they sort of grab onto ledges as they're falling.
Yeah.
You ain't got no fingers. You ain't got no fingers if you're doing that, surely. Mad.
And it's like characters with robot arms. It's like, yeah, but it's still only as strong as the thing the arm is attached to. It would just, if you try and punch through a wall, your arm would just fall off.
See, I just want the spider abilities, but be me. So then I could do things like walk up buildings and stuff, and people would just be think it's a bit.
Odd. How often would you use that?
I think I'd use it quite often,
just
actually,
for a laugh. Whenever,
especially the swinging about. I mean, that's
really about, if you're in a busy crowd and you're just like, oh, I'm out of here, up the wall, ta-ra.
Done. I mean, you could really freak people out. You know, just like
that'd be what you want to do. Is it freak people out rather than actually? Not?
Yeah, the swinging around. I mean,
help people, obviously. You know, I'll be doing that as well.
But I'm not sure how many buildings I'll walk up, though. I mean, like, I don't need to get to the top floor of a building that often, really. If I lived on the top floor of flats, sure, but the swinging around, we're doing
it. Well, it would
actually
be really helpful for James, because as we know, he's got no elevator, has he? So.
Good point. It's true.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, I could just web up there every time. It'd be brilliant.
Yeah. You could make a little pulley with your webs and get furniture up there.
Okay. I think,
too. What's that, Sean? He could walk down the sidewalk, could he?
Hands in the faucet.
Yeah.
Take out the trash.
Yeah. Could he go on a subway? Fuck you, Sean. Let's get to the next bit of feedback. Look at him drinking his Pepsi.
Oh my God.
Fuck you, Sean.
Do love an American beverage.
What's wrong with a cup of tea?
Tastes like fucking soil. That's what.
Can we move on? But
Jeff Kettle has messaged, evening lads, regarding the whole where did Cupid come from bit, he's the Roman version of the Greek god Eros. Or Eros? Whatever. Also the origin of the word erotic. Also is the son of Ares, god of war, and top bastard in a certain video game. And Aphrodite, the goddess of beauty, desire, and shagging. The more you know.
This is amazing, because this just brings me on to what I messaged you about last week that blew everyone's mind. Because I watch there's a trend on TikTok at the moment. And everyone listening, because it'd be interesting to see what you think, right? But there's a trend of women going to their husbands or boyfriends and saying, how often do you think of the Roman Empire? Now, I watched it and I didn't know it was a trend. I didn't know it was a thing, but it was a compilation. Mm-hmm. And when she first asked that, I went, well, me, I probably think about once a week, think about the Roman Empire.
Same.
And the husband turned around and went, probably once a week. And everyone started laughing. And I went, hold on, why are they laughing? And he turns around and goes, how often do you think about it then? She went, never. I never think about the Roman Empire. Why would you ever think about the Roman Empire? And I went, Oh, yeah, of course. why do I think about it constantly as well? That is weird, isn't it? Anyway, there are hundreds of videos on TikTok at the moment of people asking how often you think of them. And my favourite, the ones that just like quick as a flash go about 2 or 3 times a day. But this is, you know, we've now been doing this in my office. Everyone's been arguing about how often you think about the Roman egg. We did it in the... You didn't answer, James, but what was your... What would your answer have been?
I mean, recently, never. I mean, I don't at the moment, because...
Right, so you're like Matt. So Matt said never.
Yeah, I just don't think about it.
Me and Sean were like, all the time.
I think... Well, I say, there's a lot of Roman history around here, but then, as I said, that's probably true for most of England, at least, right?
I mean, when I lived in Redacted, I did think about it more then, because, again, that was a Roman settlement and all that kind of thing. But now, not so much.
Every time I flush a toilet, I'm like, oh, yeah, there it goes. Cheers, Romans.
I thought it was the Greeks that came up with sewage systems. Was that central heating? I can't remember.
It might be central heating. They did the aqueducts, right? The Romans did the aqueducts, didn't they?
You're right.
I mean, it's incredible, that shit. Right, what am I talking about? Right, okay, yeah, but anyway, that was an interesting thing that came up. So thanks for bringing up another reason to think of the Romans.
Because this stuff bothers me, right? Because, you know, it's like, oh, electric vehicles, oh, how are we going to get the charging points everywhere? It's like, at one point, we didn't have roads. And we built all the roads.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Okay, next.
Sorry. It's like Death Stranding. Luke Summerhayes, my message last week started as a defense of James, and halfway through the email, I realized it is kind of his fault. Thank you, Luke Summerhayes, for realizing the error of your ways.
I listened back to that last week. It was so funny. The email just completely baffled us. It was like, oh, someone defending James. No, he's not. What's going on here? Then we're rereading it and still none the wiser. But thanks for clarifying, Luke.
You completely nailed what I do as well with that. In terms of, I should have just copped to it and gone, I've messed this up. But instead, you just doubled down. Just keep going.
It's so frustrating.
I'm going to try, David. I'm going to try not to do that, but we'll see.
Yeah. It will last a week. Yeah, you'll forget. See that happening, you know what you're James. Like. Mm. Yeah, go on.
Jolly Nice Soup. In reference to Dave's karaoke choice and nobody recognising Queens of the Stone Age, I think the issue may be that he's singing the song No One Knows.
There we go.
That's a little Queens joke.
Delightful.
That's a gag.
Very good.
Yep, it's good.
Starfield apologist Alex. Hi, lads. Sounds long time listener and never miss a show. With the release of Starfield, I find myself often at odds with how people are finding the game, as I'm having such a good time. Like with Matt, who seems to be really enjoying it, but can take the criticism you guys have on board, pardon the pun, I think the people who click with the game love it, and the people who don't just see it as a clunky mess. From all of your criticisms of the game, I'd like to counter with some positive points that I think pinpoint why I am enjoying Starfield so much, maybe more than most games I've played for a while. First off, I have been playing Bethesda games since Oblivion, and I've been obsessed with them in their writing and creativity. As you stated, I don't think they ever really nailed the landing. I don't think they ever really nailed the ending, but I think it's much more about the journey rather than a destination. I think Starfield's writing is incredibly fun. I haven't laughed as much in a game since maybe Psychonauts 2, and I think the dialogue options they give you are never boring. To add to this, some of the situations you get into are just pure comedic gold. NPC trying to chat to you as you're fighting space bugs, and then in the middle of a conversation getting blown up is just Bethesda through and through. Maybe the game designers aren't aiming for these silly moments to happen, but I personally think this chaos is part of the charm. I also think the gunplay has been much improved from previous games, and since getting a new boost pack that basically allows me to fly, I've had a brilliant time just getting around a different planet, exploring caves and jumping around enemies like a space ninja. I think I found Starfield more compelling as the world seems less dark and dire compared to, say, Fallout, and because of this, I felt much more encouraged to go and explore and go off the beaten path. The game rewards you for looking around and listening to people, and I felt of each session, I found it harder to put down because I'll be getting new quests that offer a good amount of choice. For an example, there's a great AI mission that you can go either along with one of the NPCs, what they tell you to do, or in fact investigate the situation and have a conversation about life, which feels genuinely sincere. I recognise the game has its problems with the clunky menus and bugs, and I know games like Baldur's Gate, which I'm yet to play, maybe did a whole choice side of things better in many ways, but I'm willing to forgive it for the experiences I personally had and the space adventure I'm able to go on. Sorry for the massive essay again, and can see why you guys haven't felt the same, but I want to offer a positive perspective of the game. Thanks for your voices each week, and much love to the TCGS crew. From Starfield apologist Alex.
So no, Thanks, Alex. I think it's good to hear about why somebody thinks it's good.
What I've been itching for a while. Want someone to... I'm really enjoying it. Why are you enjoying it? I'll hear the reasons.
It's really well articulated.
And, I should say, Garrison Savannah also sent a similar message in as well, but I figured reading both out might be a bit much. Sorry.
I mean, there's still points that you've made that I'd probably argue against, but this is it, isn't it? Right. I think what's really done me in about the Starfield stuff is that I don't like being negative about games, but then I'm not going to pretend that I'm enjoying it either. Right. I don't like shitting on a game. It always frustrates me because I don't think we're ever like that. Right, we'll never go out of our way to be negative about a game, and on the whole, we sort of see the good in stuff. Mm. But the reaction we got to the stuff we've been saying about Starfield, you know, it kills me because usually, at least, you know, there's a couple of us that are really into it, and it gets into a good discussion. And I think because the majority of us are not enjoying the game and picking up on its flaws, the people that are liking it are getting a bit defensive. Like, didn't someone say they don't know how to talk about games anymore or something like that, or they're needlessly being harsh?
Any reasonable discourse gets shot down in a
now most bits of feedback we've got are like, you're wrong, rather than, no, actually I really like it and here's the reason. So thanks, Alex.
As you say, normally that sort of debate takes place on the show, whereas in this case it's been all four of us being like,
except for Matt, who's loving it, apparently. But he's never playing it again. He's never playing it again.
Jackie Sniper. Hi, lads. Not sure if it's taboo to mention it on the regular pod, but I just want to say how much I enjoyed the September bonus pod this month. You discussed all my personal big-ticket items of Watches, The Bear, and perpetual classic Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. The only thing that upset me was seeing the utter disappointment on Matt's wife's face as the impending realisation of Matt's foolish bet took its grip on her. R.I.P. Matt, enjoy the doghouse, baby. From Jack.
Yeah.
Cannot stress enough, it is worth paying for the video version of that one.
To see that it is not an act.
No.
We need to set some time aside to work out what this tattoo is going to be, you know.
We do. We'll plan at some point.
Good. All right.
I'm beginning to think slogan at the moment. But
slogan?
Slogan? Yeah. Like what?
Some kind of slogan. I don't know.
Don't have a cow, man?
Yeah.
Your ideas are never really fully formed, are they?
No, this is why it just popped into my head. And then I was just like, slogans.
Starting to think symbol.
Yeah.
What symbol? Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We'll draw up some sort.
Yeah.
Starting to think word. What word? Didn't have thought that far.
Just letters in an order. Well, I'm going
to
end with Ryan.
Someone's face. Whose face? Don't worry about it.
Nondescript face.
Mm. Well, I mind.
My face.
Both of your face. All of our faces just merged into one using AI, and that's what gets tattooed.
Yeah.
And just write our child underneath it.
The child.
All right, let's go.
Ryan Cobain, dear TCGS, some context. I've been unwell for a couple of weeks, and this may be the result of consuming cough syrup, a hot lemon syrup, a mug of tea, and half a bag of Revels before going to bed. Yeah, that will do it, Ryan.
When I read this, I got confused. So I thought he was saying that's why he was ill. And I was like, why did he have a lemon syrup before he was ill? But no, he's saying what he's about to tell us.
I write this email having just woken from a dream where the four lads and myself spent a day together. I started with beer over breakfast. Dream Sean quenched his thirst with a vanilla Diet Coke, no cherry available, and a discussion for what was later called the war began. The war was a contest pitching listeners and the hosts of Britain's Best Gaming Podcast together in a series of Battle Royale style events. This was accidentally suggested by Dream Ryan after bragging, the next part was true, that in secondary school, he and his schoolmates raised thousands of pounds for charity by doing gladiator / total wipeout / assault core style events, and by myself offering my hirsute body as a tribute for a waxing. A better but not massively better idea than letting another man decide a tattoo for my body. That is true, Ryan. Dream Matt jumped at the idea and began plotting ways of winning the content side of things. Dave turned into TCGSCO North North mode, where he played some Full Metal Jacket style planned some Full Metal Jacket style training. Sean called this the greatest pursuit he had had since convincing his wife that a cuckoo show was a good idea. Dr. Farley was sitting with a cold beer and was fine with it all. Anyway, as dreams often do, it fast-forwarded through the day and ends with five of us taking a selfie with Sean saying, "We're all going to watch the Tranmere, we're going to watch Tranmere compete in the FA Cup and having a shower before parting ways until the war." Anyway, lads, that's about as much as dreams as I can remember. Thanks for the amazing content you lot put out. Cheers, a little ill Ryan Cobain, who turns 28 when his podcast reaches the masses on 20th of the 9th.
Hey, happy
28.
Birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, but 28 made me sick. Oh, look, I've got 10 more years on you. Oh, well, you enjoy them.
are you all right, David?
No, I was just, well, headed towards 40, aren't I? These, trying to get angry.
I'd love to be 28 again. Oh, there's so many things I'd do differently.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, name that's one. Ominous.
No, just, you know, like, there's just a lot of things I'd do differently.
Like, what? Go on, there. That's an
is that it for the feedback?
Yeah, that is it. Go to tcgs.co/dear tcgs, leave your feedback.
Is one of those things not come on the start on the podcast?
No. I think it is.
Sorry. James, did you, in an attempt to try and go back to the age of 28, did you go back to the age of 4?
Yeah.
Have we got a 4-year-old James Farley on the show now?
Yeah, and sometimes.
And
yeah.
Here's the news. Right, okay, go on then. Let's hear it.
So here is the news. So first of all, I thought we could talk about the Nintendo Direct that was on, because I think we've all probably seen this at some point. There was a lot of games here, like a lot of games to get through. I was just thinking maybe we just talk about ones we're interested in. Because
my new thing now, like, not my new thing, we've always done it, but... And now Charlie's a little bit older. Watching the Nintendo Direct together is just a joy because we're sitting there heckling, I like that. You know, Charlie just constantly going, next, skip, like, because he doesn't like whatever game's on. And I'm going, no, Tomb Raider was quite good when we were kids. No, next. I will say this. It's easy to dick on this one, I think.
I don't think
however,
it is.
I came away with two games out of this so yeah. I was happy.
I didn't see this when it was live, but I watched it back later, and there's quite a lot of stuff here that I thought this looks great.
I mean, definitely.
Oh man,
Thing is though, David, it's whether you like these series and what they got, and some of these series I really like, so I'm quite happy to see more of these.
What was higher up than this?
Surprised seeing like Mario versus Donkey Kong. That's a great series. It's brilliant.
Yeah, but the game looked a bit shit, didn't
it? No, it's not. That's not the point of how it looks. The whole point is it's puzzles, and the puzzles are so well designed.
They get complex? Because they look quite basic in the video.
Oh, no, they're really complex.
Yeah, it gets complex.
They will get complex, but I don't know, man.
Dave, have you played any of the Mario versus Donkey Kong ones?
Yeah, I think I've played. Which one did I play? Was there one on the DS?
Was there a DS one or was it?
I mean, the king of all of them is Donkey Kong 94.
Yeah.
Because that was incredible, that game. Really and good. I was hoping this was going to be a remake of that. But
Donkey
not.
Kong 94 was the one that turns into a, like, once you get to level 5 or something.
Yeah, and then it's basically a completely different game.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I thought it was.
Well, good. That original, still holds up. Like,
yeah.
It's proper good.
But no, I saw that and I was like, brilliant. I'm well up for that for a bit more Donkey Kong. But yeah. Same.
Okay.
Then we had, there was F-Zero 99 as well that got suddenly
released.
We'll
talk about that later, it was exciting to see them talk about F-Zero again, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of, I've heard mixed things. The SNES F-Zero is not anywhere near my favourite F-Zero.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, actually, it's probably my least favourite F-Zero.
I don't know. It's probably.
Go on.
Okay, see, F-Zero X is my favourite, like the N64 one. That's the one I like the best.
My favourite's GX, though.
See, GX, I didn't get on with that as much as I did with...
I don't know how you didn't get on with it. It's fucking... It's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
GX is amazing.
I know, but for me, it was too fast, which sounds ridiculous, but I just found it too fast.
Honestly, you have the fucking weirdest opinions.
Just imagine James just being sick everywhere as he's playing.
It was good, and we'll talk about the game
later.
Yeah,
I love the one on the DS, whatever that was called. What was a DS F-Zero?
Fucking hell.
Was there a DS one?
Yeah, no,
there was a couple of GBA ones.
F-Zero GP, and then like a couple of the others.
GP, that's it. I remember GP. Mm-hmm. It was all about GX, man. But so GP I was Legend, excited to see them talk about F-Zero again. Mm-hmm. I think I was surprised that Trumbo Champ was coming to Switch. Did we know that?
No, I don't think we did.
Yeah.
Because they launched it that day. There was quite a few... coming out later today as well.
Which I loved.
Mm.
Well, we're going to hear more about Trombone Chap because I want to hear more because the controls in the video they showed looked really funny.
I've tried them all.
Yeah, good. Well, I want to hear about this.
Okay, what else caught your eye, James?
I mean, we got the Luigi's Mansion 2 HD remake. I mean,
that looks so shit.
Yeah.
Really?
I've heard it's a really good game, right? I remember playing it on the 3DS, not getting into it at all.
See, I really like that because that was the game that sold me the 3DS, actually, when I played it over your house. Because I was just really impressed by how good it looked.
Yeah, I just did not get into that game. But this literally is a 3DS game smoothed out a little bit. Mm. Graphically, it looks... They've not done anywhere near enough
really
to
rough.
It.
But we're getting that with some other these things as well. Like, I mean, with the Tomb Raider stuff is... I mean, that's the other thing. They announced Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3.
Remaster. Yeah. It's like, come on.
I'm actually tempted with, because I did love the first one on my Saturn, and I would like to at least play the first one again, just to see if it evokes some of the old memories.
I reckon the first one...
Are the original ones available on Xbox? Can you play Tomb Raider 1 on the Xbox?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
No? Okay. I don't think those early ones will hold up. Very well.
Because the biggest problem with those will be the controls.
Yeah.
Because it'll feel horrible.
Fair enough, because the rules were still being written at that point. They're old, so they must be shit. It was just they were at a very particular point.
Didn't it come out originally on a D-pad?
Yes, because it was all like grid-based. The whole level design was all grid-based, so it was really... D-pad was the way to go.
Well, I'm sure you'll be getting that way. James, you love Tomb Raider.
Probably not. I'm just...
Oh, he'll buy it.
Of course
he'll buy it. He will
100%
buy it.
Because he's more of an angel of darkness, man.
Yeah, there's a number of things that James is into that he's embarrassed people knowing that he's into. One of them's Tomb Raider. This is why I'm bringing it up on the podcast now. Yeah. One of them's Tomb Raider. No, the other one's Doctor Who. You talk to him about Doctor Who, he's like, I watched a lot of that. But never talks about it.
Never comes up in conversation. Just don't talk about it.
Doctor Who seems to be one of those things that even people who love it hate a lot of it. Is that fair to say, James?
Yeah, for sure.
I've never watched an episode of Doctor Who.
Never?
I don't know. It just didn't really...
I smell a podcast.
Who's calling?
Who calls?
Who's calling?
The
thing is, I don't believe him. I think Matt's just so obsessed with doing a cool series that he's just saying things. I've never seen a football match or an episode of Friends. He's just itching to get a cool series off the ground at this point. Yeah. Right, okay, is that anything else that cropped up?
There was also the remake of
Paper Mario.
I mean, Paper Mario 1000 Year Door, I'm really happy about that, because that is legitimately like the best of the Paper Mario games, easily.
So that's like a remaster versus...
Of the GameCube.
Whereas the other one's like a proper remake, isn't it? Whereas this is... It still looks great.
This thing looks incredible, right? Mm-hmm. But the Paper Mario one looks way better than it did on the GameCube, didn't it? Or is it just sharper now?
Just sharper, I think. I mean, they probably redone the textures and stuff, to be fair, but I think the basic look of it is...
It looked great from the video, really nice.
Yeah, it did look good. Yeah. It did look good.
But, I mean, that's a game that I used to get emotional just hearing the title music to it, because I think it's an incredible game.
I'll have a word. What are you in your 40s?
Grow up.
When I played, I wasn't in my 40s. It was, it was really good.
Yeah, that was a highlight of the whole direct for me. Obviously, won't surprise you to know I haven't played it. Not sure I'll play it, but it looked really, really nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. What did you think of that Princess Peach game? Because it wasn't. I had all the ingredients for me to get into it, but it didn't really have as much charm as
I
thought.
It's for girls, Matt. It's for girls. I watched it. I went, this is for girls. This isn't for boys. And then I turned off the direct. And I said to my boys, don't you ever. ever play that ever, and they said okay dad.
We don't talk about this again, you know?
did you not think it looked great? What I liked about it, it had a bit of bait and switch in there, didn't it? Because it started off going, and I'm going, really, we're doing this with Peach? Are you kidding me? And then she gets the sword out and you just think okay, I'm in.
I did like the different outfits giving different abilities, and like the cooking bit, and I think all that looked cool, but I wasn't like, oh shit. I don't know. I'm sure
Charlie's
it'd be
bang up for it. Charlie was like, I want to play
sure
that.
It'd be great, yeah.
Yeah. It looks decent.
One of the other things that I was interested in is another code as well, because I really enjoyed that on the DS, and getting the chance to play that again, and also the sequel that didn't come out as well, that'd be pretty good.
I don't know another code.
Yeah, it looked quite good from the trailer.
Mm. Yeah, it's a slow paced sort of puzzly kind of.
Yeah, it's funny because I played Hotel Dusk and loved it, and everyone was like, "Ah, oh, man, yeah, don't bother playing another code."
That's bullshit.
Which I now know is bullshit, and I should have just played it. Especially because this was in the days of the R4 cartridge, wasn't it?
Yeah,
play whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I actually found mine in a drawer the other day. Little relic. So I'm quite excited about it. Although it's like 50 quid.
Contraband.
Mm-hmm. Which, I don't know, surprised me for some reason. I mean, it's two games.
Well, they did that. But they did that with the other one as well. You know, the detective adventure thing that the Famicom detective or whatever, and that was like 50 quid for like two games. But this, I think, will be significantly better.
What else was good? Dave the Diver is coming to Switch. I know none of you care, but you should.
No, I played a demo today.
Oh, did you?
Because I know you'd already talked about it, Sean, but just that trailer, I was like, yeah, this looks like something I could absolutely get my teeth into. So I've played really a little tiny bit of demo. But
Especially like having now finished like Arcade Paradise, like it's a very similar. It's different.
So you're just going to keep saying that, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm just going to keep saying it. just in terms of that, like, it is, like, in one sense, it is just repetitive tasks, but that get incrementally more interesting as you go, and there's a nice rhythm to it. It's fucking great, honestly. I think you'll really, really like it.
Have you played the whole thing, Sean? Is it a short game?
I haven't finished it. No, I think it's secretly massive, to be honest. I can't remember how long I've spent on it, but yeah.
Watching that video and then starting the game, I just have a feeling there's going to be lots of interest in like intrigue around the restaurant and customers that come in, maybe, and the story will be told through that, I assume. Mm. But is that out now, right? I mean, I've got a demo.
I think the full game's October at some point.
October, 26th October.
Okay, cool.
James Farley back with a bang.
Facts, man.
26th of October. Fuck you.
There is no 26th of October, James. So 24 days now.
It was the Sony one. I'll bring it up. When we were watching the Sony one, and Matt turned around and went, hold on, 29th of February? Is it a leap year next year? No, it's not. They've really fucked that up.
I didn't know, David. This direct made me want to play Eastwood. I know it's been out for a while, but
yeah,
I was like,
that went quiet, didn't it? It got a lot of pre-release hype, and then it came out.
I bought it on release and played a bit, and couldn't get into it. It's a lot of dialogue to get through early doors, and a lot of like doing stuff that isn't really the game.
Which
it's all world building, like, and it's beautiful, like the presentation is incredible. I don't know, at the time it just wasn't what I was after, so I don't know.
Right. Another thing, okay. I hadn't played Horizon Chase 1, although it looked good at the time, but the second one also looks good. Any of you played Horizon Chase?
I played the first one, it's class. Really good.
Second one
looked
good.
If you took the gameplay of like a very old racing game and then like built sort of RPG shit around it and loads of courses and stuff, and it's really good.
When we watched this, Asher saw that and he was like, this looks way worse than the Xbox version.
Oh my god, yeah. Charlie was like the same. He was like, why? Well, we're getting it because it's a Horizon game, yeah. But this doesn't look very good. And I was like, no, it's not Horizon. It's, yeah. Also, you watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I don't want to spoil anything, but the line in it about Forza Horizon, they went nuts. That's all they need to do in films, reference something like that. They go crazy. Yeah.
Class.
Cheeky little ref.
There's Wargroove 2, which that's a good thing. I mean, just another note, because that's, I mean, I enjoyed the first one. I mean, it's another Advanced Wars style game, but yeah, it's just, it's not a strategy RPG.
We are getting towards the bottom of that barrel, aren't we, with this?
A little bit. New WarioWare still looks fucking good.
I'm
a bit worried about that.
Like, why?
Yeah, the amount of, because it's all gestures and stuff,
isn't it? Well, no, I think if it's called Form.
Yeah, it looks like the Wii one, which was probably the best one.
No, it wasn't the best one.
Oh, fucking, well, the Wii one was incredible. That's, genuinely, the Wii one is probably like my fondest memories of the Wii, like having people around and doing stupid shit. It was good.
Doesn't look as sort of like immediate as like other games in the series. It looks quite, not complicated, but awkward like to do. And that's what I'm a bit worried about.
Well, no, because remember, it'd be the same as the Wii one. It will teach you all the poses. And then once you've learned them all, it's like every game is like literally, it's like, right, it's this pose now. You got like a second, and then the thing starts. Like, I think it'll be fine.
But after Switch Sports, just a bit worried about whether it's going to detect things and all that. You know, that's the problem we have with that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll talk about it later. But I also, do you remember how there was a problem with the Switch in the early days where one of the left Joy-Con or the right Joy-Con wouldn't connect properly?
Mm-hmm.
That's still a thing.
Mm. Huh.
I found out this week that is still a thing, and it's really pissed me off, actually. Next.
Is there anything else anyone cares about through this?
I mean, I think just to sum up, I thought this was good, but just the amount of like remakes, remasters, whatever, does very much feel like Nintendo winding down on a generation.
But,
we've been saying it for a year now. They're done.
That's true. But compare this with the end of the Wii U, where at least there's loads of things coming out.
Wii U's an edge case. No one fucking had one.
How can you compare it with the end of the Wii U? There was about 12 of those in circulation. There's fucking nearly 100 million Switches.
But you could also compare it with the Wii as well, because the end of the life of that machine was dreadful.
But again, people stopped buying software at the end of that life for that console. This is a completely different situation where people are still buying software. It's just they've got nothing to show for it, really.
There's enough here, I think, until the big hitters come out with the next console. Mm. It's just because you personally don't care about any of these. So it's like, but I looked at this list
and go, oh, brilliant then.
No, I'm just saying it's a different opinion.
At least
it's
everyone else is
it.
Being looked after. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Just because David doesn't want two League of Legends spin-offs.
Exactly.
The whole League of Legends thing is very strange to me.
Yeah, two of them. Are you not going to put the actual game on?
I don't know. Something rubs me up the wrong way about them doing like these spin-offs that are like styled like indie games.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, no, it's part of League of Legends. It's one of the biggest fucking games on Earth. Like, don't pretend this is like, it's a cozy RPG. Like, nah, it's not. You're trying to get people in on board for the fucking horrible MOBA with awful people in it. I don't know. Bothers me.
Do you know what? I'm really, really chuffed for the Tomb Raider community. They've got a great time coming on Switch.
Yeah.
Is that it? You're right, Clint, let's move on.
One game was called Unicorn Overlord, which I was like, okay. What the fuck was that?
What indeed?
James, fucking hell, man. Come on.
What?
Matt's talking.
Matt's on a roll. You don't interrupt gold like that.
Matt was definitely filling a gap.
I was like, just say anything because James will start a new story soon.
No, because if you're already talking, I'm not going to just talk over you, am I? It's not right.
Talk under me, if anything.
The thing with Matt is he's got those instincts. If he sees a gap
in there,
James won't have the instincts because he hasn't been on the show for fucking 2 years or whatever it's been. Go on.
Anyway.
James's last news story is about a PS3 launch.
Too expensive. Anyway.
Thought it was.
Next story. We had a state of play as well, which we talked over.
Okay. Next story after that, because there's nothing really to cover.
There was two or three things I thought were interesting there. I mean, there was Baby Steps. I thought that looked good.
Yeah, yeah, but we already good, know but- it. It was a good new trailer. Like, don't get me wrong.
Although the swearing is nuts, because I hope there's like a non swearing option, because I look at that and I think my boys are going to fucking love that.
Mm-hmm.
Or just like bleep it or whatever. But yeah. I don't know. So, it looks brilliant. Yeah. I'm well up for that. Yeah. Well up for that game.
Yeah, it does look a lot of fun.
But yeah, I mean, you're right. Most of the stuff we already kind of were expecting. I mean, that Avatar game, though, I thought we were all reasonably surprised by that because it looked interesting.
Yeah, it looked all right.
I think that's just because we've paid no interest up to this point, right?
Mm. Yeah, for sure. Like, Spider-Man 2 had a really good showing again.
Yeah.
I'm very much looking forward to that. It does just look brilliant. Mm. So,
cannot wait.
They seem to be really doubling down on things to unlock and collect in that, which you know was my downfall on the last one. Yeah. So, I'm in trouble, baby.
Yeah, there's a lot of suits to unlock, but yeah, I'll be up for that. Can't wait for that.
I mean, again, Helldivers 2, I'm still really excited about, but we already knew about it. This showing wasn't like, holy shit, this is stuff we didn't know. Like, it was.
I mean, they announced new consoles.
Yeah.
Was it just, have they confirmed whether it's actually buy the console like that?
It's just the new flat.
Earth collection, Dave. Come on.
Yeah, so
is it just the new flat?
It's the new shells, yeah. New shells, new controllers.
Mm-hmm. So you won't be able to buy, you can only buy the white one, but you can then buy the new shell.
Yeah. That's how they get you.
This is weird, isn't it? Because everyone's expecting there's going to be like a new version of the PS5, but it hasn't happened.
It doesn't look likely, does it?
No.
Yeah.
Not if they're still shipping these things. And then the main thing was we had the release date for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and a new trailer, and it looks amazing. Mm. And it's out February 29th next year, and I can't wait.
The leap year.
Yeah, trailer was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was
beyond excited. James Bay sort of again.
I want to play the VR mode of Resident Evil 4 that they announced as well. Well, not announced. Yes. They showed
you're going to stream that, right? Good. Please stream that.
That's a stream.
I might do that. It could be quite
also,
fun.
Also, listen to Matt. I want to play Final Fantasy. Please.
I don't know if I want to.
Well, maybe I will.
What? You said
actually,
you did want
to. Maybe I'll play it.
Yeah,
you're not the best.
Isn't it like 50 or 60 hours long or something?
Yeah, but you can smash through 50 hours in 2 weeks with the amount you play.
Yeah, it is true.
50 hours is nothing for you. That doesn't touch the sides,
James. It
makes
you feel sick how much video gaming you get done in a week. It was ill.
Yeah, not recently.
2 weeks, I reckon it'll be done.
It's true.
Give it a couple of days.
Is that it for the Sony thing?
It is, yeah. I mean, okay, so next story...
Yeah, it felt like one of those contractual ones. Because last year, apparently, Nintendo and Sony, again, at this time of the year, posted a showcase on the same day. And by the sounds of the Sony one was weak again, last year. It was feels like, shit, we promised this company that you get the state of play. Let's put one out. I don't know. Whatever.
For this next story, we should actually just give James some room because it's fucking massive and complicated.
Yeah, it's
and
wild and I don't understand it. So is that shut the fuck up, David?
Also you guys, if you want to support James, because this is
just send it to you guys.
I do
I'll
not envy him
well.
Having to read this shit out.
Right.
So. Yeah, I mean, I've limited this down now because originally I had about five different stories.
Okay,
people
just saying, can you just say change so many
could
times.
People just listening now and just going, can you just say what the fucking story is?
Right, okay, this is about the story. This is about Unity, and it's about the changes that were announced that were going to be taking place from the 1st of January.
What's Unity, James?
So it's a game development engine, right?
Correct.
It is, yeah.
So there you go.
1 point.
And so the original plan was they were going
to... Have you noticed he mumbles when he's not confident about saying something? Like he goes, it's a game to...
Maybe they won't hear me if they'll just assume I said the right... Sorry, we're doing the exact thing we said we wouldn't. Sorry, James.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm going quiet.
So the original plan was they were going to charge developers for every install that their games received, like after a certain threshold. So the idea was it was for Unity Personal and Plus subscribers... the fee would then kick in after there were 200,000 installs and or $200,000 in lifetime revenue. And then what would happen is that studios would be charged 20 cents per install. So what this would mean is it would mean even if you uninstalled the game and then reinstalled it again, you would have to pay, you know, the studio would have to pay.
The devs would have to, yeah.
The devs would have to pay another 20 cents, you know, for this. And then this, apparently, if you're on a Unity Pro or Enterprise model, then this went down to like 1 cent instead for subscribers with 1 million in revenue from the past year. So people were obviously not very happy about this because this, you know, this could be a significant dent, you know, in the amount of money that you can take from the game. And so one group of studios even like switched off Unity ads, you know, in their games and everything, so because they were like, we don't want to give them any money at all. Then there was a bit of sort of backtracking, and then they said they were going to talk about this, and then there was death threats that were leveled at Unity, like at the Unity offices as well, which was not so good. Mm-hmm. And then finally, what's happened now is Unity have now responded. They've said, we have heard you. We apologise for the confusion and angst the runtime fee policy we announced on Tuesday caused. We are listening, talking to our team members, community, customers and partners, and we'll be making changes to the policy. We will share an update in a couple of days. Thank you for your honest and critical feedback. So,
I mean, no shade on the poor employee who had to post that tweet, but can we apologise for the confusion? Like, no one was confused.
No, like, everyone knew exactly
what was
going on.
Everyone just fucking hates it. It's not. Yeah. It's like the implication. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, sorry, you're all confused. You've got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, everyone's perfectly understood everything that's been said so far.
Yeah, it's basically like we're sorry you're offended.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not about you. It's about what you've been doing to.
Yeah.
Can I ask? I mean, this the thing that I can't quite wrap my head around. This also applies to existing games.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
How?
Well, this is the other thing, right? Is it? My understanding is people within Unity, but like basically most of them knew nothing about this, or the ones that did told the management that it was a shitty idea. And basically, there's no like the infrastructure to make this work isn't there yet. They've got until January to implement
it.
But
that's not my point. My point is there must be some sort of legal agreement when you're released, when you're using Unity to power your game.
Mm-hmm.
There must have been some legal agreement in place when that started.
And yes. How are they allowed
just
to?
Change?
Yeah.
Like it's like saying, oh, I've got this asset for free that you can use in all of your games if you want. And then a bunch of games use it and go, haha, actually, I'm charging you £1 million for it.
You're right, yeah. I mean, so how can you retroactively do
how
that?
How can you retroactively do that and get away with it legally?
Yeah, I forget who was tweeting about it, but it was, basically people saying, like, there's...
Now, sorry, I should also say, if you're a developer and you're listening and going, well, of course you can, you fucking idiot, that's fine. Like, I'm not saying, well, surely the devs are making this up. Mm. Like, they know more than I do, and their outrage is, you know, is obviously reflective of what they're doing. Mm. But I am interested to see how this is legal, because this sounds insane to me.
People
that
have
they
been
can
saying there is a very
this.
Good chance that people will be able to contest this legally. So that's another hurdle.
Well, the developer of Cult of the Lamb as well, like, you know, said, oh, I'm just going to take it, I'll just delist it in this case.
Then he came
back and he said he was joking, but it's still to make the point that it was, that this could have really serious impact on a studio like that.
Yeah, because there was a number of things that initially weren't clear and then they sort of cleared up, but then in clearing it up didn't necessarily help. Like, obviously one of the first questions was like, well, what about Game Pass? Like, because obviously a dev has taken a one-off fee to put the game on there. And it's like, oh, right, so now for the rest of the game's lifetime, that's going to now cost me money every time an Xbox user installs it. And then then Unity came back and said, oh, no, like, Game Pass installs. They said something like, basically, the developer won't pick that up. It's like, right, so Xbox will, and they will then start building that in when they're taking into account how much to pay a developer for a game on Game Pass. So that's not brilliant.
And the other one was the charity bundles.
Yes.
As well.
So they confirmed that they don't count, right? And demos don't count as well. But again, this all to me seems like... Basically, my feeling is even if this goes ahead, I mean, it sounds like it genuinely will, which is insane, but if it goes ahead, someone's just going to release an app that will just block whatever tech Unity are using to track it, right? Surely.
But then also aren't... developers just going to move to other engines? Or is that just not possible?
I'm not saying it's all right because the hackers will deal with it. Like, I'm just saying, like, realistically, that seems like a very obvious thing to happen.
Yeah, you saw a lot of people saying, well, actually, like, whether this goes ahead or not, or whether changes are going to be made, like, the next game we're going to look into putting it on Unreal because there's too much of a risk now. Like,
well, this
what
is
if
it,
you,
isn't it?
If you don't do this now, you do this later. Clearly, you've got ideas about doing this.
Yeah, like, even if they...
We'll start doing Unreal research. We'll make the next game. We'll not be Unity because we can't take the risk of this kind of shit happening again.
Yeah, because even if they rolled back absolutely everything and said, sorry, we were drunk, I don't know, like, that trust is
gone.
It
was an intern. Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, everyone's going to try and move away from Unity now, regardless of what happens.
Yeah.
And it says terrifying things about what Unity's finances must be like, right? If they're willing to do something as obviously daft as this.
That's been speculation, though, isn't it? That things are not great there.
Because they had a bunch of layoffs not long ago as well, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
There was stuff about some of the directors and stuff selling shares, but that was misreported, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Or not misreported, but like... Basically, because the process of selling shares takes so long, and actually, in the grand scheme of like how many shares like John Riccitiello ever has, like the amount he sold was basically nothing.
But it was weird that the executives sold their shares a week before this happened.
Bad optics, I believe they call that.
Very bad.
As Sean said, I think it was more like that. This was already in train, but it kind of all came at the wrong time.
Yes. And then just a little shitty. So like that the tweet that James mentioned was, oh, sorry for the confusion, etc. That was like midnight on a Sunday they put that out.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's really smart, guys. It's just what a mess. And it's just a shame because obviously we're in this era where middleware is like such a huge thing and is enabling loads of people. Like, any of us could fucking download Unity and start tooling around with it if we wanted to, right? And that should be this amazing, beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. What worries me is this going to give the others ideas? Like, if Unity somehow get away with this, I don't think they will.
No.
But
I think this is going to give them ideas on what not to do.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
I think they're rubbing their hands together. Yeah. You get something like this. How often do you hear about outrage over game engines are charging? Mm-hmm. It's not often, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is how game dev broadly works now, this just really feels like it poisons the well. Do you know what I mean?
It does, yeah.
Massively. Yeah. And this isn't John Riccitiello's, like, you know, first rodeo. They said, like, basically said fuck devs like a year or two ago as well.
He said a bunch of really stupid. Yeah. I used to, years ago, I might have mentioned this before, but I used to think John Riccitiello was all right because he was at the helm at EA when, like, sort of 2007, 2008, when they started putting out loads of weird and interesting
stuff.
There
was like the gold era, wasn't there? Yeah. Of interesting things. Yeah.
On reading up on it, it's like, no, those were all projects that were greenlit before he became CEO, and then basically they all got like one shot, and then he's like, right, no, fuck all that. Not doing that again. We lost money, and he sort of killed all the interesting projects off. So, yeah. He's a baddie.
Yeah.
I think he might just be a baddie. I don't know. don't think it's that much more complicated than that. I don't know how this is going to pan out, but it's not going to be good for Unity. And as I say, even if they 100% roll it back for everything, devs are going to switch away. And obviously there's a time and a cost to that for everyone.
Like, how can you rebuild trust on something like this? I just don't see how.
It's just like, really, really difficult. You know, companies doing shitty things to make money. Mm-hmm. Like, we see it a lot and it's depressing, but you're like, yeah, but I can see why that works. But in this case, it's just like, no, this is just insane. Like, it's so self-sabotaging.
It?
Yeah, it's just bizarre.
It feels desperate. It feels like a loss.
Yeah, and at a time where Unreal doing everything they can to make it easier, changing the revenue models, obviously it's free, they've got loads of support, blah, 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 but yeah, it's like, this is not the time to do it, and Unreal, as you say, just rubbing their hands of glee now.
Yeah, like, if Unity were, like, far and away the leader, then you'd be like, okay, well, I can see why they've thought maybe they could get away with this, but they already weren't, so this is, I don't know, it's just bizarre. And my heart goes out to the devs, obviously, and people within Unity who knew what a fucking stupid idea this was, because they're all having to live with it. As we've heard, the, you know, death threats are being sent in, which is obviously fucking ridiculous. Awful all around.
Mm. Do you want another cheery story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So Ubisoft's Montreal's doing a return to office order, apparently.
Oh, God.
And this is because, so apparently they've gone back on a promise, because they promised previously that 100% remote work would be possible. this is what it was supposed to be. So then, but then now they're forcing staff to come back for a minimum of 2 days a week as of the 11th of September. Now, the problem with this is that from the IGN story that this came from is that obviously people made plans about, you know, things like living situations, where they moved to and things like that, with the idea that then actually they'd be working remote anyway, so it would be fine. But then now they're being told, actually, no, you have to come back to the office, which is, that's causing problems. And I mean, apparently they announced there was going to be a policy change in June, but then the details haven't come until much later. I mean, Ubisoft have said, they said open and ongoing conversations in addition to extensive individual accommodation and arrangements are currently underway to ease this transition and the impact on everyone's well-being, which remains our priority to continue to deliver great games. But originally they'd said 100% remote work would be possible depending on various criteria, such as productivity and the impact on the team, as well as the nature of the work being done. But yeah, things have changed.
Such a small text there, isn't it? 100% remote work will be possible, and then depending on various criteria. Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
which we're not specifying. Right,
I don't
now
trust like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah, I do not trust like that. Yeah, it is an interesting question, isn't it? Whether an employer has the right to say no, you need to come back and work in the office, because like beforehand. Before the pandemic, just work from home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people work from home, obviously, but for the main part, it was like, yeah, you work here now, so you'll be coming here every day, you know?
Yeah.
I think, whereas, like, things change, and it's, like, I'm not defending Ubisoft at all. I think it's a tough question.
It's a weird one, because I mean, Dave, is it fair to say you broadly prefer being in the office?
Personally, yes, I prefer being in the office. Yeah,
coming to terms with the fact that I'm the same, but I'm in an organisation where, yeah, that there has been no return to the office order, so I can go into the office, but there's fucking no one there. So even that's not quite the same anymore. However,
okay,
that's me talk. Like, I have literally a fucking 10-minute walk to the office. I have no transport mobility issues. There's nothing stopping me from going in. Whereas the whole, one of the massive positives about, 100% or allowing 100% working from home is, yeah, you just massively increase your talent pool in terms of people who live elsewhere or have issues, you know, physically getting to an office for whatever reason.
100%.
Like, it's a huge benefit. And yeah, so on the one hand, I'm like, yeah, but I sort of do prefer being in an office, actually.
The alternative argument to that is, yeah, you're widening your net for much bigger pool of talent, but you're not getting the opportunity of spreading that talent across the business as well, because they're not interacting with people throughout the office. You know what I mean? It's not easy to turn around and go, what would you do here, and get a quick answer, because it's not how it works.
But it's
my personal point of view, right? And things are different now. You know, there are people that work way better from home. There are people that prefer it. It's better mentally. There's people that live in central London and are thinking, why am I spending an hour and a half to get to work and an hour and a half to get home, when that's 3 hours of my life that I can just sit and...
Well, this is it.
Then there's cost of living stuff.
Because part of me wonders, like,
more money working from home.
Yeah, like, do I just miss the office because my organisation doesn't do working from home very well, right? Like, no one really keeps in touch in, like, an informal way, really. Mm-hmm. So I sort of miss that stuff. But then I gather there's other companies where I say, yeah, everyone chats on Slack all day while they're working.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Slack, yeah.
I mean, the bigger problem with this is just, you know, it's the idea of, if you've been told, or at least highly indicated, that this is the way it's going to be going forward, as like a benefit really of working for the company, and then you make choices about your life, about where you're going to live based on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not great, you know, to do that.
Yes, yes. And it's not the staff's fault for believing that. Mm. But when I do look at their original quote, I think, you know, come on. You can see the red flags around that quote of, you know, based on criteria, you go, what's the criteria? Yeah. Now, that's not, as you said, that's not down to the staff to notice that. But you're right. Yeah, you're right. If that, it seemed like that was going to be a way forward at Ubisoft, and then they're changing their mind on that, that's a big deal, right?
Mm.
That's a big difference. Yeah, yeah, no, tough one, isn't it? They're such a weird fucking company at this point. And
well, I think this is affecting lots of companies, isn't it? Like, I mean, I'm sure, like, was it Apple or some? Yeah, I think I'm sure Apple had like a thing in recent months where they're also, you know, told about return to work or not. And it's just going to happen for many businesses which have moved to a hybrid working.
I'm surprised it's this far out and people are still doing it. I mean,
what, work from home, you mean?
Like, I mean, like the return to the office because. I mean, over here, I don't know about you, but my company returned to the office like about a year and a half ago now. So it's kind of like...
Yeah, a lot of people returned to the office, but then not everyone did, or some people rather not. And then there's like, you know, half empty offices and stuff. So it's like, well, hang on, if we're paying for this, and also with like rent and mortgages going up, maybe owners like, hang on, we're paying for this massive thing. If we're going to pay for the, you know, the rent, whatever it is on this huge office block, we should at least have the people in there, because as it stands, we're paying for a massive place, half the people aren't here, and that's when they want to get people back in, I guess.
Yeah, like, and I mean, just looking in the chat, there's a few people saying, like, well, actually, my employer was able to just get rid of their office, so they're quite happy with everyone working from home.
Yeah, and they like that,
saving.
Yeah, because it depends on what kind of work you're doing as well. You know, it's,
yeah, absolutely. As an aside, anyone listened to My Perfect Console with Clint Hocking on it yet?
No.
So Clint Hocking, who worked on Far Cry 2 and then Watch Dogs Legion, he's now working on one of the new Assassin's Creeds. I forget which one. So he's been on it, and like Simon Parkin, like, just straight up asks him, basically, like, what's going on? What, you know, how did you feel about obviously all the allegations that came out, et cetera, et cetera. And it's weird because Clint Hocking is often quite, well, I don't know if outspoken's the right word, but he's very forthright, and he very clearly gives like the answer he is allowed to, and I don't blame him for that. Like, and Simon mentions at the end of the episode, he was like, a PR person did sit in on the call, which, the, you know, hardly ever happens when he's doing that show.
Well, that's like us right now. We've all got PR people just to our left-hand side. You can't see them on camera,
We say incorrect shit all the time. It's weird.
Yeah.
never stop us. So it's very strange. Like, Ubisoft are obviously very aware that they still should not say the wrong thing about the allegations and stuff, and are still keeping tabs, but then they're daft enough to, you know, to like do this return to the office thing, which is obviously not going to be a PR win, is it? So
no, it is not. All right.
Okay. Next story is, so there was an Apple event this week, and we found out that the iPhone 15 Pro is going to be running native versions of games that, like, you know, AAA games as they're calling them.
It's such a non-story. I should have got you to take this out.
I know. Like, one of the things that is interesting with this,
a fucking new iPhone, man, Jesus. Like, I, you know what used to really piss me off being an iPhone purchaser was the amount of people going, it's the same as last year. You go, no, yeah, actually there's a few new things now, but recently it's been like, nah, it's the same. Although I did do that thing, I did do the old man thing, you know, they've removed the, I don't know if you watch it, Sean, you probably don't. They've removed the silencer switch from the iPhone, and replaced it with a button.
Okay.
And I instantly went, oh, fuck off. Why have you done that? And I was like, oh, yeah, I've never touched that switch in about 4 years.
It's always the action button.
I mean, Sean, you probably weren't aware that Apple have invented the action button, you know, like on the side of a phone.
That's good of them.
And USB-C. You know, it's great.
Interesting
because we've had big games on phone before, but like this is probably like the native console version on a phone, which feels like the first time they've done that. I mean, no one's going to play on the phone because it's so small. But
is the reason we've never seen this done before is because no one really wants it?
Well, this is why it would be interesting, is if this was coming to like Apple TV and stuff, because that means
it's not coming to Apple TV though, because they do not give a shit about video games. Over and over again, they've proven that they don't get it and then get angry and then just go, well, we tried.
Do it then.
Well, you didn't.
Mm.
Yeah, we won't do it then. Like, that's standard Apple, man. Yeah,
So the new Assassin's Creed Mirage is coming. Resident Evil 4 and Village. I just thought that was interesting. I mean, and Death Stranding.
Yeah. So. And if you're really into it, The Division Resurgence is coming as well.
Now I'm sold.
There you go.
all right, good luck to those Apple guys. I hope they do well. They need a big hit on their hands.
So the last story is that Nintendo are done.
It's not the last story. We've got one other story. We spoke about it before the show.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Well,
no, it's the last proper story.
Yes, okay, let's just move on.
Nintendo are done with Mario Kart Tour. In terms of content, it will still exist, as in you can still play it, but they're not going to be adding no new courses, drivers, carts, or anything going to be added.
They didn't get down to Slough. they did Paris. They did go all the way down to Slough and then say,
Slough's probably next on the list after Paris.
Yeah, they canned it just before.
They had to
close the roadmap.
Yeah, you've got to cut it off somewhere, right? I mean, did any of us put any time into this? I had a quick go when it first came out.
No, Harry did. Harry loved it. Yeah, Harry thought it was a business, But no, I did not play that game much. I did not get on with it.
They've still got a couple of games they're supporting. So, I mean, Fire Emblem Heroes, I mean, that's probably mad.
That's still going.
He's keeping that going. And
well, it's their biggest earner, so I assume it's...
Animal Crossing,
Fire Emblem is massively ahead in terms of earnings.
Animal Crossing's still there. And Pikmin Bloom as well, for some reason, is still going as well.
The one where they walk about with the Pikmin. Okay. Well, good luck to Nintendo. I hope they're over there.
What are they going to do next? Because it feels like it's getting progressively worse in terms of revenue. I mean, I'm sure this one did do well. It says here it's made $293 million.
This news segment got progressively worse as well.
I think they're done with these. I don't think they're going to bother releasing anymore.
This made $293 million. So
really, that's quite a lot of
million. Made a massive load of profit. So it may not be as big as say Fire Emblem.
They don't seem interested though, do they?
They're closing it because. Enough's enough, but it made almost $300 million. I'm sure $300 million. I'm sure they'll make others. It's just feels like
James ever reported on a release of a new mobile phone before, because that's new, isn't it? To report on that,
no, I've never done that. Yeah,
that's because I might
start doing that more in the future.
Usually not relevant.
Yeah. Well, there's new Google stuff out in October, so
I'm sure that'll be really good.
Okay. Is that it for the news?
No, we've got one other piece of very exciting news. This is proper exciting. So we have been nominated.
No, this is proper exciting. I don't want to sound like a sarcastic prick. We are proper excited.
Yeah. We've been nominated for an independent podcast award.
Yeah, mate.
And
right.
I mean, do you want me to read out what this is?
I love the quote.
Yeah, go on.
Okay. So
what's the quote?
The Independent Podcast Awards are the brand new awards launched. They shouldn't have used awards twice in that sentence. Launch for those.
Don't them off. This has been the one they're listening to.
Okay, sorry. The Independent Podcast Awards are the brand new awards launched for those podcasts that are truly free of corporate ties.
That's us.
That is us. We're taking things back to those who create their content in their back rooms, in their spare time, and without the pressures of upsetting their sponsors along the way.
That's patronising. That's a bit patronising.
To be fair, that one time we did have a sponsor, we didn't care about upsetting them. So.
And also, we are in our back in our bedrooms.
Yeah.
We
are in
our
spare rooms.
You're right.
So we've been shortlisted along with two other podcasts, which is it's Gaming the System and The Apocalypse Players.
Rubbish. So never heard of them. We should walk this, boys. We should walk
if we
it.
Don't come home with the gold, I'm going to be livid.
Just really gracious, both of them. It's going to be a good night. I'm excited.
What was that? What the fuck was that? Are you going to eat the sausages?
Yeah, of course.
I would say...
We've paid to go. That's different.
This is
it's an independent sausages, Dave. It's fine.
This is fucking weird, right? Because James, you've barely been on the show this year, yet you're quite willing to spend hundreds of pounds to fly over for the event.
I don't want to miss this. Like, why would I want to miss this?
What do you mean you don't want to miss this? What are you?
I don't want to miss it. You know, if I can get up on stage and
sure, you don't want to send Chan to collect the award for you.
Yeah. You know the way, like, James is like, oh, I'm such a recluse, man. I hate the limelight. Yeah, you know, he cannot wait to stand on that stage.
I want to get on that stage. I want to hold up that award and think this was all worth it, actually. You know, it's
because up until now, it's felt like a fucking waste of time.
I'll allow it, but you've got to wear a bow tie.
I've never worn a bow tie in my life.
Tartan bow tie.
Yeah. No.
Never done that. No,
yeah,
good
please
fun.
Wear a bow tie.
Well, because Matt and I are threatening.
Yeah. I really want you to wear
Matt
a bow tie.
And I are threatening tuxedos, but.
I would love to get properly dressed up.
Yeah, it'd be funny.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, the best thing about this isn't the award nomination, and thank you for that. It's because we all get to go together in London.
We are really grateful.
See what happens. If we don't win, who cares? We'll have a great night. And if we do win, it'll be even better.
No, we are really grateful. And I think it's like nice to actually... Because yeah, that's the thing about podcast awards. You look at them at the moment and it's like nominated BBC, BBC, yeah. You know, TalkSport. And you're like, oh, come on, man. We did all the fucking groundwork for you pricks.
There was a bit on you just, Ellis and John the other week. They've been nominated for something else. And John basically says like, yeah, I can't wait for someone else to collect Steve Coogan's award on his behalf.
Yeah. But it's true. Oh, it's like, you know, it does do you nothing. What was that? Oh, what, you're giving that famous person an award for interviewing their famous friend? Brilliant. Yeah. Nice one. Right, we're doing the graft. We're doing the fucking graft.
Yeah.
Like, when you listen to like one of these celeb podcasts and they're like, apparently if you record your end of the conversation, we can, you know, send over your end of the conversation. I'm like, motherfucker, do you know how much, you know, we worked all the kinks out and you're reaping all the benefits?
The Louis Theroux ones are worse for that. It felt like every week he was like, oh, my producer's working out some technical gremlins. It's a fucking, oh my God.
Who is this?
But so no, we're glad to be nominated.
That's on the 30th
October, isn't it?
Yeah, 30th October.
Have you been thinking about their speech?
No, I've been thinking about it's on a Monday. What are we going to do?
We're going to record on a Sunday
live stream,
and then we'll go
the
down
whole
Monday.
Thing.
James isn't going to be there.
Well,
James is going to be worried about his flight the next day. He ain't going to be there on a Sunday. No chance.
Yeah, we'll record on Sunday. We'll be at the awards on Monday, and we'll live stream it. No, we won't. But yeah,
we'll be making love by Wednesday.
Yeah, good. Very good. Can't wait.
The Independent Podcast Awards.
Yeah, I might
get
full black tie.
We are the best show on that category. Are we done for the news?
Yes, we are. Yes.
Good. Well, let's get to what you've been playing. I think we should start with the big hitter that I think we've all played this week. We didn't even know this game existed this time last week. F-Zero 99. Mm-hmm. It's a new F-Zero game, isn't it?
Sort of.
And
yeah, no, it is.
This is okay. It's really good. I'll start. I'm enjoying it. Yeah. They use the term Battle Royale in the Nintendo Direct. They shouldn't have done that. Don't go into this thinking it's a Battle Royale. Don't go into it thinking each race is going to last ages. It's an online version of F-Zero, where
with too many races.
Too many other races, but it's still fucking fun and addictive because each race lasts about four minutes. Mm-hmm. And where's everyone's highest rank so far in a normal version?
This made me just think I was really bad. It's my highest rank has been 36th so far in this.
That's not too bad. I'm like 28th. Mm-hmm. I've got 28th before.
Yeah, I'm like 56, 50 off. It's, yeah,
I was going to say, I got like 40 odd or something. I can't remember.
Right, okay. Because F-Zero at this level, and it was a little bit like, well, no, it was. It's kind of a major sort of mechanic of the game. When you finish that game, when you get to the end of your last lap, you need to have zero energy left. Like, that is the idea, right?
Like Formula 8. The hell out of it.
Yeah, you're using your energy to boost, right? F-Zero 99 is a 99-player F-Zero game based on the SNES version of F-Zero. And the idea is that the basic game mode is that you do one, four... four lap race. If you explode, then you're out of the game. Obviously your energy goes down quite a lot because there are 98 other racers on the fucking track with you. I mean, we said the same about previous 99 games, but there is part of me that's like, I wonder how much of this is fake. because I bet there's some trickery going on, you know, where it's not actually calculating the movements of 98 other players. Mm-hmm. I think there's got to be something. But anyway, and it works too smoothly. Like, there's no lag. There's no issues with everything. It just works really well.
What are you talking about? Nintendo always nail online. Like, they've got...
These 99 games, they've nailed every single one of them. They feel incredible.
But that's what makes me wonder if it's
fake. Some trickery.
Because I'm like, well, why does this appear to work perfectly?
There's bound to be trickery involved, but it doesn't really matter because the illusion works and it feels great to play. Like... this is genuinely fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really been enjoying every time I played it, really been addictive, always trying to do better. And then that's before you get to the special events like the Grand Prix stuff.
Yeah, Grand Prix was excellent. I played it on the weekend.
Yeah. So the other thing that it does is that if you collect... so every time you bump cars with something, you drop these little pellets.
The
sparks.
And
if you collect enough, if you collect enough sparks, then you don't boost anymore. You go to some sort of like golden pathway above the race course. So you know, there's a bit of strategy there, when to use it, when not to use it, how to make the most out of that.
It also has that thing where it's much easier to get those as well if you're further back in the course.
That's
so it's
right,
a way to get you back
the massive golden racer as well that you can ram into and get loads of them and stuff. I really, really fucking love it. And, you know, it's not a new F-Zero game to the point where I'm thinking, yes, F-Zero's back. But I fucking really got into this and played this all Sunday, really. And just, yeah, man, I really like this game. I think it's really cool. It's a neat idea and they've executed it really
well. It's weird. It's like you say, like, yeah, it's not a new F-Zero game as such. But it is surprising how much they've changed the SNES stuff. Like, in terms of, like, the way, you know, that the races start with, like, that massive... Like we're on the M6 toll.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. It's like when we go over the Severn Bridge in Wales or whatever. You get to the thing and then it all opens up and there's no lanes and you're like, what the fuck do I do? Come on, just put your foot down as quick as you can. It's great.
I love that stuff. The fact that, like... yeah, like all the customization you can do to the vehicles. So it's still like the four vehicles from the SNES version, but they're all there's like different skins for all of them, and I think there's like decals as well. Is that right?
Decals.
Love all that stuff. Really cool.
I'll tell you what else I really appreciate about it is the music as well.
Yes.
Because what I mean by that is not just the fact that it is the F-Zero music, which is brilliant, obviously, but also it really sounds
the
like
fills.
They've kind of like
all
got
the
Super NES sound chip sound as well, which is really there. 100%. And it's like, it's...
the only problem I've got with the tracks and stuff is that, like, the same tracks are getting picked every single race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every time there's
I think people recognise the name. Like, oh, yeah, that one.
Isn't there literally only four tracks or something at the moment, but they're drip feeding them in, I think.
Yeah, I can't wait for them to add more. But, it's hard to really sort of... talk about too much, because it is all I'll say is that Battle Royale, if that's put you off, it's a four lap race, that's it. Like, there's nothing Battle Royale about it. You're not building up power, you know, you're not attacking,
because even like with Tetris,
you're not specifically attacking other
players. With Tetris 99, like, that had that whole thing, didn't it, where it's like you could take out like a high ranked player, like, you get like way more
you
stuff.
Get their,
that,
you get their badges,
which is like, oh shit, it's Fortnite, fucking hell.
Rivals thing, which I think is good. The Rivals thing is well done, I think.
Sorry, James.
At first, I was like, how am I possibly going to see my rivals out of like all these people? But you do obviously see them on track, but it's so manic that I'm not like actively aiming for them, really. I'm just trying to survive, really. Sorry, James.
No, I was going to say exactly the same thing. Mm. Yeah, the Rivals thing is quite an interesting way to try and, you know, create some sort of personal drama with somebody.
I know, like, so much of it is about the energy and blowing up and whatnot, or trying to avoid blowing up. But first, I was like, can't there be a setting where, like, I just glide through other players and it's more about the race? And, like, because it just got, like, the first few races, I was just, like, so annoyed, just getting, like, smashed everywhere, you can't really turn a corner. But after a while, you do kind of get the hang of weaving in and out of traffic, even if
it's funny, isn't it? Because
the impact of clashing with other racers is like, it's not punishing. Like, you don't lose that much energy for crashing into another racer.
I think Matt's saying he'd like to be able to just practice the tracks first, right? Whereas this does feel to me like they've built it around, like, oh, we know that you mastered this 30 years ago.
No, I think you can. I think there's a practice mode. I'm pretty sure there's a practice mode.
You can do that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, on the main menu. So give that a go. But no, I think Matt's saying, I love the fact that we're just talking to Matt.
Wait, it was less,
I think he's saying it like a Trackmania style mode where actually it's not about, are you like,
okay,
it's
so still
about
a race,
can get
but
around
it's
the track
not,
quicker.
Yeah,
so I'm not like, I want to get like, you know, the perfect racing line, this and that, bomb through the track rather than like, okay, when I get to the corner, there's like 80 people ahead of me. So it's like, it's absolutely, it's mania.
I suppose the difference is that's not F-Zero.
Well, I was going to say, yeah,
F-Zero was never about that. Yeah, F-Zero is all about it being far too many races on a track.
I don't know. It's
that
normally
being the issue.
It's not only like one or two other races on the screen at any one time. On the SNES one.
Well, no,
it depends on the version, doesn't it? Because GX had like ridiculous number of things going on at the same time.
Yeah, GX, it was like, well, how many races? Was it 50? I think it was 50 on the GX.
But F-Zero X was the same as well. Like, there was a lot of people like on that track.
Yeah, it was fucking great. That's so good. It's so good. I would say it's a free download if you subscribe.
Yep, and they're not as part of the expansion pass. Expansion pass, just like the standard.
Oh, the base.
Pass.
I know. Yeah, what happened? Yeah, just. Well, no, because I was going to say pack. I was going to say expansion pack, which is like.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, it's not. It's not
right,
that.
We got
it's
two just... Americans with us now. We got the pass. And what was it that Sean said earlier? That was American.
Elevator.
No, exactly. It's not part of that. It's just part of the standard. Nintendo Switch Online, which is good. Because I was like, oh, I still haven't bought the expansion pack. I don't probably think I'm going to need
probably
to.
Don't,
but
probably don't need it.
But I was like, don't put it on that. But no, it's just on standard one.
Cool.
It's good fun.
Get F-Zero 99 played. Mm-hmm. Before we could... Oh, well, let's talk about the other game that come out of that Nintendo Direct that we might have played. Trombone Champ.
Yeah.
I've been playing that with the family. I mean, I pointed out that, I'm getting that issue where I didn't even think about it at the time, but it's notable in this when I'm playing it because it's the first time like loads of us are playing with Joy-Cons. And my fucking right Joy-Con is like disconnecting, or left Joy-Con's disconnecting from the Switch when I'm like a little bit further away from it, or my hand's covering it. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's fucking still there. This is an OLED with an
white supposedly
Joy-Con.
Fixed
it's still doing it.
Clearly not. But clearly not. Yeah.
Clearly not. Yeah, I was really pissed off with that. But, obviously, the big appeal of Trombone Champ on the Switch is that you can play it four player, which I'm sure you can on PC, but the, you know, connected to
but
the
PC
TV.
PC players have no mates.
Joy-Cons.
That's the problem, isn't it? That's the
But like, it's in the front room. The Switch is like connected to the front room, and we got the Joy-Cons out. And yesterday, we all did it, and it was just so much fun. Like, Joe was pissing herself. Like, she was just laughing at, like, us playing it, and everyone was singing along. We did God Save the King and sang along to it, all of that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's a brilliant game. We've spoken about it before. Sean's a big fan. There are four ways to play the game. There is using the stick, moving the stick up and down and pressing...
I was going to say, that's got to be the
Don't
worst.
Don't even bother trying that.
Yeah,
it's not very good. There's tilting with just your hand. So you sort of tilt up and then the spot goes up. That's good. Incredibly painful on the wrist. It's probably the best way I've played it so far. Although I've not actually tried the next one, which is moving your whole arm, I think, rather than just your wrist. You can raise.
Figure out if that's better or worse.
I think that's probably going to be better because, actually, honestly, using your wrist to go up and down, it does hurt after a while.
I mean, I guess it depends on the strength of your wrist, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, whether it's...
James, you'll be fine.
Massive wanker.
Thanks, mate.
That didn't need to be said. and for those of you that don't know what Trombone Champ is, it's a rhythm action game where you control a trombone and it's, like... It's supposed to be hard to control.
It's basically impossible to play well, and that's why it's funny.
Yeah. That's why it's funny, because you're always hitting the wrong note and all that sort of stuff. And the final way of playing, which was surprisingly brilliant, is using the AR blaster at the bottom of your Switch.
Oh, that's right. It's like a theremin, isn't it? So you like use the distance.
It's really good. So you hold the thing in your hand, the Joy-Con in your hand, and then... You put your palm underneath it and you move it further away to make it go up and then closer to make it go down. And it really fucking works. Like, really works. I mean, I didn't do it because I kept getting confused by what was up and down, like whether further away was up or closer was down. But it didn't matter. I thought it was a fantastic way of playing. It felt really accurate when I was using it. So it feels like... What I like about Trombone Champ on the Switch is, firstly, it feels like it's made for the system. Mm. And secondly, they've clearly thought about it more than, let's just put this on the Switch. Mm. And I even played it in handheld mode, where you tilt the whole console. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that felt fantastic as well. So if you haven't played Trombone Champ before, and you have a situation where you've got some, you know, non-gamers coming over, definitely get it, because it's like, it cost me £11, I think.
And, I was going to ask how much it was. This sounds fun for me. Do you want
it was like £11.50, something like that, and we all had a great laugh with it. Like, as I said, Joe's usually not got time for that sort of stuff, but she thought it was hilarious. Yeah. So, cool.
I don't think it probably does, but does it have any, like, Nintendo music on it? Like,
no.
One kind of Mario theme would be brilliant.
That's a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Oh, Harry was like, I wish we could have, the Mario
theme. Well, if you download the PC version, you can put custom...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It'll be loving that.
Are there plenty of songs on it? Because I played it like on release on PC. 50? Oh, is it right? Okay. Because when I played it, when I first played it on PC, there was only like 12 songs or something. And then by the time I revisit it, it's because I was adding custom ones for the Christmas thing. So yeah, I knew they'd added more, but I couldn't remember how many.
Does it have Linkin Park?
So Silent Night was a favourite. So no, it doesn't. Silent Night was Silent a favourite. Night on there. Cool. God Save the King was a favourite.
Great song.
What's that song that goes
Star Wars?
Candle in the Wind.
Da, da. It's like dum dum dum.
Oh,
dum,
fucking
dum,
dum,
the dum, planets.
Oh, they're annoying me now.
The planets.
The planets.
It's Hulst, the planet.
No, I don't think it's
called
there
that. You go. Also, Sprach Zarathustra. Thank you, Phil Wall.
What?
Right, or the planet.
Okay, the planet.
The planet. Right, okay, well, we've got episode title. that was really funny because you're doing that and then it goes, da da! And like when you get that wrong, it's just funny. Yeah, it's just really funny. Highly recommended for that if you've got the Switch.
Yeah, I might buy that.
I'm going to save my last game.
Ooh.
And I want to hear from James because he's not been on forever. Mm-hmm. So, come on, James, what you been playing?
I've got two things. Pong. I played episode 4. Okay.
Fucking. Come on.
Played episode 4 of The Expanse because episode 5 is out. Really
now,
soon.
Yeah. Now, I think. And, today.
Or is it?
Oh, is it today?
I saw a tweet. I'm fairly sure it's today, but maybe not.
Okay. So I thought I'd catch up with that because it's still good, but it's just really... last time I complained about how short it was. This one's even shorter. Like, it's less than an hour, definitely. And it's over pretty quickly. And it only starts to get interesting, I would say, towards the end of that episode at all as well.
This is it, isn't it? Because you could take them being short if they were like As Dusk Falls, right? Where it's like bang, 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 story just constantly. But the fact that I like the exploration sequences, but clearly they're adding quite a bit of length to it and they're still really short. So,
and I think, I really think this is one of those games that would be better to just play all in one go, actually, rather than
I'm just waiting now. I'm just going to do the last. So I've done 1 and 2 and I'm just going to do 3, 4, and 5 in one sitting, I think.
Still good, but just a bit shorter than I'd probably like. But the other thing that I've played is I played and finished Ken Follett's The Pillars of the Earth. So this is...
I'm really interested to hear about this. Well, you talked about it years ago, didn't you, James?
Yes, and that's the thing, because I played it for review on the Xbox One, but it was only book one.
Right.
It was only like... Because it's three books, basically, and it's based on a novel which is set in 12th century England, and it's all about the construction of a cathedral that's taking place in a fictional town that's called Kingsbridge. But this is all... I mean, this may not sound very exciting, but then it's all taking place at the backdrop of basically the UK England at the time is in a sort of a civil war after the sinking of the White Ship. So this was where basically the heir to the English throne died. What actually happened, and this resulted in like a war of succession and the whole sort of breakdown of law and order in the UK. England. I keep saying the UK. Why do I keep saying that? Which is terrible. But in England. And so, but what this does is it charts the lives of people from different sort of social classes and different sort of parts of society and how they navigate what's going on here, you know, with all the, which sides to pick and, how you should try and sort of get through with, especially in how you can get through with your family as well. And the events that are surrounding the constructionist cathedral, it gives you the opportunity to have all these mostly moral conversations, but also religious ones, but as well about the nature of existence and this kind of thing, which I found the entire thing very compelling, and to the point where I was really rooting for characters. By the time I got to like book two, I really wanted to. I was like, I've got to keep playing this because I want to know how this is going to pan out. And the decision making is not very extensive; like it doesn't massively change things, probably because of the fact that this is based on a series of novels, so you have a bit of it's a bit difficult maybe to provide different things, but it's just excellent. It's just very well written and very engaging, and I think the biggest problem that people would have coming to this is it's very slow, like starting out, like it's incredibly slow, and the pace only picks up really by the second book. But also, I played this on Switch, and there was a number like glitches as well, problems with this where sometimes they were quite funny, and it was a bit sad, like where someone's face changed from somebody else's face and things like that. Or there was one I was playing one bit where it's like in this like sort of what's it called, a cottage, and then you see somebody's like face like appeared on the wall, but all kind of like pixelated and everything, and it just is like I don't think that was intentional. And also I had a bunch of crashes as well, which were quite irritating.
What, this game come out fucking years, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's still
just that's the episode title. This game came out years, what the fuck?
But no, it came out on Xbox One, and and I enjoyed the first episode, but I just been waiting. I got it because on Switch it was £1.97.
Oh, fair dudes.
There we go.
I'm not made of money.
There he is.
I thought I could download that and play that. And it looks lovely as well. Mm. Like, it really does look.
But it sounds boring.
Oh, shut up, Dave. Sounds good. I'm intrigued.
Does it?
But no, it is a good game.
I'm intrigued. Shut up.
I like educational things.
I don't know. They don't. You pretend to like it. Then you text me.
No, I like educational things when they're spoon-fed to me in the form of a children's computer game.
This point isn't the case, but this isn't done by the Banner Saga people, is it? It's like some of the artwork looks really strikingly familiar.
It's Dalek Entertainment, which I think are now defunct, aren't they? Because they were shut down recently.
Oh, right. Do you ever play the Banner Saga, James?
No, I never played those.
Oh, you like it? No, no, it's turn-based strategy. So, but with RPG elements.
I'm not clear about any of which of those I like and dislike, so maybe I like it.
You should get Banner Saga's like really good. I should really crack on with it, because the second one, I got to the bit where you play as one of the villains, and I was doing that annoying thing where, like, I don't want to be bad, so I'm picking the less bad dialogue options, and everyone's just going, like, what the fuck? Why are you saying that for? You're supposed to be a fucking maniac.
I thought you were the baddie.
Yeah. And I felt like wasn't engaging with it properly. But the Banner Saga games are really good.
Yeah, I love the first, got about an hour or two into the second, and kind of didn't continue for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But I reckon you'll love that, James.
See, what's cool with this as well is the fact that you're seeing people grow up as well, because it takes place over like several decades as well. So you really get to see the development of the characters.
Pentiment really does owe quite a lot to this, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it really does, actually. It's less funny, I think, because although Pentiment's not really funny either, is it? There's some
it's
bits
amusing
that are kind of amusing,
places,
but
Sean amused.
Sean amused. Amuse me.
Quit. Sean quit.
Okay. Is that it?
I finished Shadow of the Tomb Raider as well, but apart from that, it's nothing else much.
Did you enjoy that one?
Is that a third one?
It's the third one,
yeah.
I enjoyed it in the beginning. Started to tail off towards the end. It's all right. It's the weakest of the three ones that came out recently, but
they'll bring that back surely, won't they? They'll do like another reboot, surely.
I don't know, man. They've gone quiet again, haven't they?
Well, they're too busy fixing Perfect Dark.
Exactly, yeah. They're working on that instead.
Yeah. Oh, apparently you said in the beginning, because the chat's going nuts.
He did. I thought maybe I assumed we all noticed it, and I thought, oh, maybe we're taking the high road.
Oh, missed
maybe
that
we're
one.
Not,
no,
not
one.
Mentioning it.
No. Quick Starfield update, Matt.
Yeah, I did a mission. I just haven't found the time to go back to it. Oh, really?
Brilliant.
The inclination.
Well,
Can I tell you a spoiler?
Don't know.
Not a main mission spoiler. It's just
something
that happens.
Can you tell the audience a spoiler?
Yeah. It's not like a big spoiler. But those that are super sensitive to possible things, then please fast forward, say, 2 minutes. Because I think it kind of sums up where I'm at. Like, I'm still playing it, and okay, I'm enjoying it is a strong word, but I'm playing it. But I had that moment you've been itching for, Matt, where I picked up a random book in a random base, and it sent me on a random mission.
Yeah.
Although that mission was just go here and look at this thing. And the thing was really cool. So you ready? Definitely don't listen if you don't want to know about this. So it sent me to Earth, and it sent me to London on Earth, and I saw the tip of the shard, sticking out from the desert.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, that's fucking great. That's really cool. But then I found a rock next to it with a snow globe of London on it. And I thought...
Just in case it happens.
For fuck's sake. Like, why? What the fuck?
Because some people outside London probably wouldn't understand, or, you know, maybe in America.
There's just one guy that goes and drops that off at it. I'm like, well, and not only that, there's no mission. You don't get in the shard. You can't get into it. How cool would have been if there was a mission where you get into the top of the shard and you work your way down to get something in the shard that's buried in the...
Like it's a dungeon.
I was just this game is full of such missed opportunity.
Mm.
Fucking kills you, right? It's so disappointing that they didn't go, right, we're going to do all this stuff. I don't know.
My issue with it isn't the game so much. It's because I feel like I need a whole day in this game to probably get in the swing of things, you know. And
you won't spend it on it.
No. I feel like I've done like a mission here, half an hour there, and I just haven't properly got into it as much. I reckon if I had a whole day playing it, I would be like, okay, obsessed with it and playing it all the time. But haven't, with all those games
where... I don't know if you will, though, Matt. Like, most of the positive things you say about this is what the game might be and not what it is. And I did exactly that. I spent, a day on... I can't remember what day it was, or an evening or... And I heard that, if you do the... what they call the Frontier Collective or whatever they're called. The
Freestyle Collective?
Freestyle Collective. I heard if you do that mission quest or one of them Freestyle Collective mission quests, you get a really cool ship at the end of it. So I'm doing that now, but I just don't give a shit about anything it's asking me to do. I'm doing it. At the moment, it feels like a checklist game. It feels like I'm ticking checklists. I'm going here and I'm doing what the game's asking me to do, and then I'm moving on.
But I found some comfort in that. Emotional connection. That's kind of what I was enjoying.
Yeah, but that's the enjoyable aspects of it. A tick list game is enjoyable, but it's not enough. Like, you need some sort of emotional investment in the ticking of the list. Otherwise, what's the fucking point?
I hadn't felt that yet, story-wise. But no, I was just enjoying going to places, doing the thing, coming back. Like, that in itself was compelling enough, or I could turn my brain off and I was enjoying it. It was for me. It's just not
compelling enough at all.
No, for me, it was just I was enjoying that rhythm of doing the thing, and... Yeah, but I haven't felt the need to go back to it. That's the issue.
He's done. Matt's not going back to it. FIFA's out this week. He's done.
FIFA's out this week. I'm away this weekend. But yeah, and then Spider-Man's out.
FC's out this week.
What's that?
What is?
Said FC's out this week.
Yeah, that's what we're calling it.
You're not true fans, you guys.
Well, I'm so excited.
You're right. You're right. We have been put in our place. That's a quick Starfield update. Sean. Finish us off. Take us home, baby.
Finish us off, Sean.
Jesus Christ, that's all three of you.
Yeah, not for the first time.
I've been playing Solar Ash.
Next.
Which is the second game from Heart Machine, makers of Hyperlight Drifter. it came out a couple of years ago on your PlayStations and PC, but it only came out...
Well, we're a fucking retro podcast now. What is this shit this week? Going back in
back in time. It was when James was last on the show.
A good game is a good game, David.
So this came out a while back, and when it initially came out, I think it's on Steam now, but initially it only came out on the Epic Store. And as I repeatedly failed to learn, if I buy games on the Epic Store, I never play them because it's just somehow it's just slightly too annoying having to load up a different app, which has signed me out because I haven't logged in for 30 days. And then I've got to sign back in and I can't remember my password and I've got to refresh that. And then I've finally signed back in and then there's updates and can't be bothered. So despite being a massive Hyperlight Drifter fan, I never really played Solar Ash. It is now on the Xbox and it's now on Game Pass. So it's free, isn't it? That's what everyone says. It's free if it's on Game Pass. No one has a go at you for saying that.
That is what people says.
I've only put a couple of hours in. I really like it. What's the surprise? I mean, the reviews for it weren't like stellar. I think it was all sort of 7s and 8s out of 10, which is obviously decent. But obviously, Hyperlight Drifter was like such a huge success. This, in terms of reviews, felt like a bit of a climb down. It's very different from Hyperlight Drifter. It's 3D for starters. You know, Hyperlight Drifter was very much like a sort of top down, sort of 2D Zelda ish. With sort of Dark Souls-ish combat. And yeah, this is a 3D platformer, which is very sort of, I don't want to say parkour focused, but it's sci-fi, right? So you play as this character and you're in these environments. Basically, the plot is this black hole is fucking sucking planets in and mashing them up. And you're making your way through like inside this black hole, right? So there's just bits of all different worlds, all sort of smushed together, broken apart. So you're making your way around these environments by like you kind of like skate around, but then you've also got like a grapple hook, and yeah, so there's a lot of just like running around, grinding, dashing, grabbing onto things, swinging around. And initially it doesn't, like, because clearly that's what the game is selling itself on, right? It's like by the end, you're going to have mastered this and you're just going to be like flying around the place. It's going to feel amazing. But initially, you don't necessarily feel that. Like, it's quite, like, it's a little bit stiff, a little bit deliberate in the way that the movement works. But that's on purpose because it's something to master, right? It's not just, oh, brilliant, like, I can do whatever I want immediately. Like, there is something to be learned there. And what's really cool is, so there are these little sequences. So there's this like black ooze, right? That's kind of hanging around and usually getting in your way.
Ooze.
You got to get rid of it, obviously, because why else would it be in a computer game? And basically what's cool is, so you'll find this bit of ooze and there'll be this like, it kind of looks like a spear, like sticking out of it. And basically you whack that and then another one will appear and you've got to dash to that in a certain amount of time, whack that, dash to another one, whack that. And then eventually you'll get to the last one and it'll clear the lot. But you're constantly on a timer when you're doing those bits, right? And they're usually very short and quite good fun. Like you might have to attempt it a couple of times before you get the rhythm down and stuff, and that's fine. But then the bosses are these big sort of Shadow of the Colossus style things, and you're doing that on them.
Okay.
So it's not just like, oh, it's Shadow of the Colossus, I'm finding weak spots. It's like, yeah, you're finding weak spots, but you are on a timer the entire time and you're like sprinting and dashing around and jumping around on it to like try and find these points and hit them all within the right time limit. And like, and the soundtrack's fucking incredible, right? I forget it's not, because I know famously Disaster Piece did the Hyperlight Drifter soundtrack. I think he worked on elements of this, but I think it was one or two other composers worked on it as well. And it's as you're making your way through these sort of weak points and whacking them all, and obviously you're stressed because the entire time you could fall off, or you know, if you take slightly too long, then it resets, right? And you've got to do the whole thing again. Which is never like a huge setback, but just the anticipation of getting further and further, and the soundtrack's like just like ramping like up and up and up as you're doing it. It's fucking incredible. Like, it just feels so good. I almost wish it was just the bosses. Like the exploration stuff is fine, but the bosses are like such a high point. I'm just really looking forward to the next boss at this point, because like there's some story stuff which Hyperlight Drifter was like zero dialogue. It was all, you know, the story was told through like if you spoke to characters, there would just be like a series of images like of what they were telling you, and a lot of it was up to interpretation and stuff. I don't like, whereas this is like there's dialogue and characters speak in it and stuff, and I don't know if it works as well as Hyperlight Drifter, especially because you're in this world that's fucked, and basically there's hardly any survivors, and those that are left have gone mad anyway. I do wonder if it would have benefited from the same approach that High Plate Drifter had, where it's like largely, you know, vibe based. but I don't know. So I mean, the dialogue's not an issue. It just like it just kind of spells things out that you kind of like. There's this one point you walk into this like this really beautiful shrine, right? And this like really nice music kicks in, and then the main character goes like, "Oh, it's so peaceful here," and it's like, "Yeah, I'd work that out."
Yeah, they
myself.
Need you to explain
didn't,
that.
Didn't need, yeah, like you saying that just made it slightly worse. Like it didn't need you to point that out. But I mean, that's a very minor irritation. So yeah, really glad I'm finally playing it. I should have played it 2 years ago. I'm an idiot. Two others, probably relatively quick. So Monster Hunter Now is out on your telephones. Yeah. So this is the new, yeah, so Niantic, makers of Pokemon Go and Pikmin Bloom. And the Harry Potter one that failed. Yeah, it's their new phone game, and it's based on Monster Hunter. Surprise, I really like it. I do think it's a really interesting distillation of Monster Hunter, because it's not just Pokemon Go with a Monster Hunter skin thrown on it, right? Like it's a bit like behaves really differently, because obviously Pokemon you're catching loads of Pokemon, and yeah, you're occasionally doing battles and stuff, but like the Pokemon Go battles are like you're just mashing the attack button, like you can do it without even looking, right? Whereas this, like when you get in a fight with a proper monster, it is actually like a very cool boiled down version of a actual Monster Hunter fight. So it's got like hasn't got all the weapon types, it's got like five or six of them, I think, but basically. Yeah, so it's like third-person camera, and you're tapping to attack, but then also you're like swiping to dodge, and then there's like you've got a button for like one of your special moves, and then also there's like hold abilities, so you hold the screen, and like if if it's like the sword and shield, then you'll guard with it, or if it's a long sword, you'll like sheath the sword and then like charge up like a what they call a spirit slash.
So this sounds,
stuff like that.
This sounds
it's great.
This sounds way more involved than Pokemon Go, like in terms
of it isn't because like Pokemon Go the interesting interaction is catching Pokemon, right? Mm-hmm. Because you like when you get good at it, you start doing the curveballs where you have to like spin the ball around and then flick it at like a slightly awkward angle, and then it sort of curves around, and mm-hmm. So that stuff is really satisfying. But yeah, like the fights in Monster Hunter now are like genuinely really good fun. It has this cool system where, so in the older Monster Hunter games, when you found a monster, you would throw a paintball at it, and then that would mark the monster on your map. Later Monster Hunter games, it just does that by default, like you don't have to paintball it. But what they've done
do the monsters notice when you do that?
When you paintball them, yeah, it aggroes them, yeah.
Oh, right, nice.
But in this, it's what they've done is the paintballs are in it, but it's just if you're out and about, and you just like if you're on day out or whatever, and you open it up, and it's like, oh shit, there's like three monsters here, but I'm busy. You paintball them, and then it basically just like saves them for you to fight later whenever you're free, when you're sat on the bog.
That's
or whatever.
Nice. That's nice.
That is really nice. And also, like, you have your Palicos, your little cat mate, who like, so even when the game's closed, he'll just automatically paintball monsters for you, which again, quite useful. So it feels like. Because what's really awkward is that obviously this has arrived at a time where my wife has really got into Pokemon Go.
Oh dear.
So it's, as good as this is, it is going to cause a schism in my marriage. Because we had a day out in Chester the other day, and Nui was like, oh yeah, we'll do loads of Pokemon Go stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I will. I'll do a bit, but also probably do some Monster Hunter stuff as well. I mean, my battery only lasted about 40 minutes. It turns out that doing both and switching between them is a massive battery hog, but hey-ho. Yeah, it's really good. Really enjoying it.
Cool.
Working my way up through the monsters. They sort of unlock as you go rather than they're just like they're all there from the beginning. So I don't know how many of the monsters are in it. But yes, it is a good time so far. Last
nice.
One, very, very brief. Played Skate 3 again the other night. With the lads.
I saw
Joe
Scrabble's posting videos, and I saw your name on it. I was like, oh yeah.
It's
He's
still
back
the
on it.
Fucking best. It came about because we were talking about there's some new footage,
yeah,
Skate 4 leaked or whatever, yeah. And we were like, oh fucking hell, should we just play Skate 3? I mean, obviously it's aged, right? It doesn't look incredible or anything, but it's still so fucking good. We played it online. It's on Game Pass via EA Play, whatever it is. really
fucking
good.
Is there a release date for a new one?
I don't think there is, no.
No, it's been a good 2.5 years since they
been a while,
said
yeah.
they were working.
But we're still seeing new footage, you know, like as Sean said, like last week they...
Yeah, I don't
think was the anniversary of an old game, I think, last week, and that's why they showed off new footage and...
Right, yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting to me because obviously there are others like it now, but none of them use like the exact same control scheme. Like Session is well thought of, but that's like your two sticks, so your left foot and your right foot. And I couldn't get my head around it, so I'm just going, no, just make it like Skate. It doesn't matter if Skate 4 is rubbish because Skate 3 is still amazing and you can just play it.
There we go then. You don't need
the
old game
already.
You don't need the new game. You've already got the old game.
Yeah. So it's fine.
That's it. That's what we've been playing this week.
That is it.
I believe it's time for some questions.
It certainly is. If you want to send us one, go to tcgs.co/dearTCGS in your favourite web browser. Louis B says, after what sounds like a disappointing drug experience in Starfield, what game has the best drug/drink simulation? I think GTA 4 does a good staggering drunk simulation. Too scared to do hallucinogens in case it's like PT.
GTA is just good in that in generally, isn't it? Like drink and drugs.
Yeah, GTA 5 had the smoking a spliff and having images of aliens. I can only see
aliens,
which is realistic.
Red Dead 2 had the drunk scene where you go to the pub. That was so fucking good. It's so reminiscent of a good night in a pub that they absolutely nailed the feeling and the weird, where you look back and go, oh yeah, do you remember when that was weird? Like all of that stuff.
It's funny, isn't it? Because a lot of that is, oh, it's the really expensive physics tech, but there is something about the writing around it as well.
Oh, the way it was cut. Like, wasn't there a bit where you're just about to have a massive fight and then it cuts and you're doing the can-can?
Really funny. Really well done,
that scene. Yeah. That game, honestly, how we didn't give that game of the year is still...
I saw Sam was posting pictures of Red Dead 2 the other day. I was like, man.
You were the reason. What won it that year?
I can't remember.
It was Astrobot, wasn't it?
Oh fuck! Hell. Oh.
The game that Sean didn't even finish.
It's a good game.
Not even the PS5 one, which was the rescue mission.
It's the VR one. Yeah,
it's a good game.
Fuck me.
Yeah, good game.
Over. Oh my god! I'm so angry. But what were we thinking?
It was a good game.
Was I just not paying attention?
Wasn't as good as Red Dead 2.
Because
it's last gen game, David.
It is.
No, you had another game that you really wanted to win, which knocked out Red Dead. Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was Outer Wilds or something. I can't remember.
Oh god, yeah, I was livid.
Wasn't that later?
Was that later? I don't know. Red Dead 2 still absolutely incredible. Yeah, but I that's probably the best example I've seen of getting drunk. Because usually it's just you fall over instantly.
Yeah.
That's not what happens.
Normally just get that wobbly screen effect, nothing else
didn't
changes.
He, like,
what was the game that you,
as well
you
in Red Dead
spoke about? Yeah, you can throw up. Yeah, what was the game that you spoke about in the quiz inning with all the drugs in it?
Oh, Narc on the PS2.
that's a good one as well.
Fucking hell!
Yeah,
for those of you that didn't listen to the live show, I understand that. We had a round. Sean did a round where he spoke about Narc on the PS2, which had loads of different drugs in it, and each drug had an ability attached to it.
Power-ups.
And like power-ups. So if you took a certain drug, you know, if you took cocaine, you would go into a rage mode and try to, you know...
Increase your damage, I think. Was that cocaine?
Yeah, increase your damage or something. And we all had to guess what the result was of taking the drug. But what was funny about it is that just briefly before, a police officer walked into the venue, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think they needed the toilet.
There's a couple of them.
So they walked into the venue, went to the toilet, come out and went, imagine if they'd walked in half an hour later and we're going, drugs gives you strength.
No, guys, it's a game where you play as the police. It's all right. It's
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's called Narc.
My answer to this, The Biz by Chris Seavey, aka Frank Sidebottom, his Spectrum music management simulation thing. Yeah, there's like occasionally someone will offer you drugs, and if you say yes, it just completely fucks the game up. Like it just like distorts everything you see on screen, and you just piss money every week.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, that's good. Like for a largely text based Spectrum game, it is like, oh fuck, this is horrible.
Yeah.
But yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's such a good idea.
Sky says, I did my own research and discovered that Sean's secret job is being a royal guard outside Buckingham Palace. If Sean tried to keep a straight face, could you make him laugh in 30 seconds?
30 seconds, I think I could.
Do you want me to set a timer? No, it's probably best if someone else sets
the timer. No, because the stuff that I do is not appropriate for the show.
Okay.
I would say funny stories about things that have happened. Well, no, I've already done it.
Yeah. That doesn't count. I wasn't trying.
Do you know, James would be really easy.
James, just show me that video of that helicopter.
The little old lady around and around on the helicopter. Remember that? Remember when the helicopter was rescuing that little old lady on the stretcher, and then the stretcher went round and around and around, and it got faster and faster and never stopped, James? He loves that.
He does.
Listen to him.
It's like pure horror, and it's just like,
this is it.
That's what's funny to James. She was alright, wasn't she? Wasn't she like, she was unconscious?
No, she passed away.
No, she didn't pass out.
Oh, she didn't pass. She was conscious.
No,
that.
She didn't pass. She was conscious the whole time. Yeah, she survived, but like,
it wasn't a pleasant experience, though, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's not funny. Then,
allegedly,
not funny
Matt,
at all.
I think would be quite hard, but I just. I'd get some office quotes in, I think, and it'd be gone.
Yeah, it would be quite hard for that.
Yeah,
that's
like
the sort of thing
Sean
Matt finds funny.
I would, that's why Matt wouldn't be able to get any of us to laugh. I want to see you in one of those hats, Sean. Is that too much of authority for you? Be able to?
Oh, the big fluff. Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry.
What?
Talk about the Royal Guard.
Yeah, I felt like we left that behind us a while ago.
What hat? What have I missed? Okay, yeah, the Royal Guard hat. Yeah, that'd be good, yeah.
They must be so fucking uncomfortable. I assume they're just like 90% air.
90% hair, aren't they?
I assume it's just like a huge like frame and then just like a bit of elastic at the bottom that you just...
Wait, hold on. What else would they have in it? Padding?
Just, yeah, I don't know, meat.
In what world is that?
Just loads of, like, awful. Whale fat.
Just awful. Yeah, yeah. I think we should all wear them to the awards. We're in London, man.
I need to know, someone will be able to message us, right? And this is what we want feedback about, obviously. But you know, they look so ridiculous and inconvenient.
Mm-hmm.
There must be a reason why they're like that. Oh, they trained the, soldiers to not move the... I don't know. It's weird.
Has anything ever kicked off and they've had to react?
Oh my gosh, yes. Have you not seen the videos?
No.
Not really kicked off, but like people taking the piss.
Oh no, has anything happened where they've had to like fucking pull the gun on them? And...
Yeah.
Have they?
So, oh, shit, like people, there was like, this one guy who's like walking alongside him, and then he puts his hand on their shoulder and he sort of just like steps back and points the gun at them.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, no, they don't fuck about. They do not fuck about. And there was a thing recently, I thought it was quite funny actually, because it's such a like a petty thing, but also really British to get angry about it. There was a woman, there was a guard on a horse, and there's a woman that just took it on upon herself to organise photos. So she would be like, come on, you next. And then she's like stroking, you can hold this, stroke the horse if you want. And then she'd get the photo. Decided. And then the police had to go, you don't work here, fuck off. Like, but she just took it on upon herself that she was going to, do this job. It's so weird. Anyway, I watch too much YouTube. Next
Foxy
question.
Moron says, lads, just got a new PC and the Game Pass upgrade deal, £80 for 2 years of it. What Game Pass games do you suggest I play first, and any hidden gems on there that people don't seem to know about? Keep up the great work, all. P.S. The last time I sent a question in, James deleted it seconds before Sean was going to read it out. So here's hoping James. This one makes the late night James cut, if he's even there.
I've not deleted it. I
like that part-time file. Part-time file.
Part-time file.
Part-time file. Sorry. What are you saying? What are the Game Pass games, is it?
Yeah, what are the good games? I mean, obviously, I know we've answered this before, but it's been a fair while, right?
Yeah, I don't really delve into Game Pass like I used to.
Do you know what killed me? I went to install what's that fucking game? The Artful Escape.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Realised that it'd been taken off of it.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, what a pain in the ass though. I really wanted to play that again because I love that game.
Well, if you love it so much, you could buy it.
Yeah,
leave it off. Which you think I am? I should have another run through that game. Yeah. I really like it.
I mean, is it really tedious if I just go through the list alphabetically and call out things I like? It probably is real quite bad, isn't it?
No, go for it. Don't do that. Power Wash Simulator, that of course is on there. And that
Arcade Paradise
is very good. Is Death's Door still on there?
Oh, I think it is. Yeah, definitely play
Death's
that.
Death's Door.
Mm-hmm. As Dusk Falls.
High quality.
Oh, yeah, that is
As
great.
Dusk More Falls, people should play that. 100%.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Halo Infinite.
It is good. The campaign's good fun.
Like, Grease just hurts too much, Sean.
Grease is on there, I got added recently. Cassette Beasts, if you want interesting
Firewatch.
Pokemon
play
alike.
Firewatch. Firewatch is worth playing.
Chicory's on
hike.
There. Short
a
hike.
Short hike. If you want to play a game that's about an hour long,
you
get
that finished, actually.
A perfect.
Chipping away.
I'm streaming that. My internet failed and didn't
Celeste
go back.
Is another
Celeste.
One.
Celeste. Fucking yes, mate.
Citizen That's Sleeper. A very good game. In the year 2022.
Yeah. Starfield. No? No?
Yeah.
Not that one?
Nah.
No?
Yeah.
No?
Nah.
No?
Yeah.
No one?
Lies of P, I haven't played it, but people are raving about that.
Yeah, people
Lies of P is meant to be really fucking good. Yeah. I mean, it's
looks very
Bloodborne. So, like, I played the demo and I was like, well, it is just Bloodborne, but from the reviews, it really sounds like it sort of steps out of that shadow.
Yeah,
so that's really cool.
Brilliant games on it, though.
Some really good games.
Do you know? I'll tell you what. I played on the weekend. I played Quake in co-op from that.
Yeah, man.
And it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's so good.
The Quake and Quake 2 are like both really good remasters. Yeah.
It gives you a real appreciation as well for the level design, which is fantastic in Quake. And it works so well in co-op as well. Because then you get, like, even if you die, because of the way the levels are designed, it's like it doesn't matter because your team is still working on, you know, trying to get through whatever puzzle it is. And you can really quickly, like, rejoin them as well because of the way the way things are. It's brilliant.
Oh, there you
go.
Dave, Eastwood's on Game Pass. I didn't even know that.
Oh. Chicory is good. I like that. After was it? Which one was it? Sean, who nominated for Game of Year? We all played that.
No, it was James.
Yeah,
it was James.
Yeah, I sadly did not get on with it as well as I wanted to. Escape Academy is really good if you like escape rooms, which I do. Everspace 2.
Okay, that's an.
He's on the ease, everyone.
The best space game released this year.
Quick.
No doubt.
Okay. I skip ahead.
Enough.
I'm on the H's now.
That's enough. Only on F.
Yeah, but there's too many games.
Forza Horizon.
Next question.
GoldenEye.
I'm gonna skip. I'm gonna do an N. No Man's Sky.
Chop back and blow your fucking head off, dickhead. Twat. Bring.
Shredders
is really good.
Yeah. Signalis. No. Okay, let's move on.
Signalis is also really good.
Yeah, great game.
Maria Mendieta, the real one, I think. I don't really know anymore. Dear TCGS, constant flow of laughter. I hate Micah Bell. His scuzzy grin and his professed greed make me detest him from the start of Red Dead Redemption 2. My feelings towards him only soured the more the game went on. What is a gaming character that inspired absolute contempt? And was it the gameplay or the writing that made you loathe them? Keep up the incredible work. Sincerely, Maria.
Croc.
I don't think there's enough characters that make me hate them.
Yeah, not with like real venom.
Some people in like movies and books, you're like, you can't stand that person. You don't want bad things to happen to them. There's not enough players and characters and games that make me really like.
I don't know, man. Ben from the Walking Dead series.
It's fine, mate.
No, I think the lead character from Killer is Dead, which is a deep cut that I'm referencing there, but my word, he was a piece of shit. Like the whole stuff about how he thought about his family at the end of it, madness. I'm trying to think. Yeah, no, there'd be loads of characters that you just get angry at and you really hate and you want to kill them.
Just not enough.
There is, though. Is there?
Not like in movies.
There's plenty in The Last of Us.
Mm. But then that, well, turns around, doesn't it? Turns
burning
around.
Burning house. No. The burning house one. The guy, the burning house, Michael.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
Oh, yeah, him, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he turns it around, does he, Matt?
Not him, not
yeah,
him.
How does
not
he do
him,
that?
Everyone.
The other one. Chris from Dist. He's a terrible character.
He is the worst,
I hate
actually,
him.
Yeah.
I don't know. James, there must be plenty that you don't like him.
Not really, because I'm trying to... Is he like you?
I'm so many games.
I know, but that's the problem, but I'm struggling to think of something that really sticks out of my mind at the moment.
Yeah, there's not enough bastards in games, I don't think.
Mm.
There needs to be
there's
more.
There's loads of bastards
but then
in games.
Not is enough that, I can really think, oh, that absolute bastard.
But that's the thing, because you get loads of characters who are like, oh, he's evil, or whatever like that. But to actually build
Bowser.
Up... To actually build up like a relationship like with a character where you just feel, I really can't stand this character, that's quite rare, you know, because the writing is often not great to be able to do that, I think.
King
yeah,
Boo.
Yeah, villains in games, it's like they go one extreme or the other, don't they? They're either so one-note that you're just like, yeah, he's a baddie, whatever,
yeah.
Or they're surprisingly sympathetic and well-rounded and... Kefka, Final Fantasy VI, he's an all-time prick. I can't remember his name. In The Saboteur, the head Nazi slash race driver who kills your mate. He's a fucker.
The racist driver.
Not a fan of him. I don't know. There's just not many villains
that stick out. All the bad guys in the Wolfenstein games? There were plenty of... Horrible
yeah,
people
not,
in
you
video
can't say,
games.
Oh, yeah,
not memorable.
A prick.
Actually, yeah. What was her name? The woman
I know
in Wolfenstein in recent months. Oh,
yeah,
I can't remember her name.
She's a piece of shit, wasn't she?
Absolutely fucking horrible.
Yeah.
I feel like we've let Maria down with this one. There's definitely better answers for
time
that.
I said Bowser. Wrap the podcast up.
Oh, Phil says Kurt Dierke. Yeah, you go. That's him. Did you look that up, Phil? Did you just know that?
He googled that.
Tell me you just knew it, because I'll be really impressed and I'll believe you. That's it.
Well, Phil did answer most of the questions at the cuisining just straight off the top of his dome.
Yeah.
So
This episode's descending. Matt, socials.
Yeah, so probably knows Sean's stream on Thursday. That's correct, isn't it, Sean?
Yes.
Yeah. But on Friday, James will be back for more Star Trek Resurgence. If you missed his stream on Friday, it's now on YouTube. Are you still enjoying it, are you, James?
I am, yeah. It's good. I'm enjoying talking
Star
Trek.
Star Trekking across the universe.
That's Star Trek Resurgence. That's Friday night, 9 p.m. If you miss it on Twitch, just go to YouTube and you can find it later. If you've got Amazon Prime, connect to a Twitch account, your Twitch Prime gives you a free sub. We're on patreon.com/TCGS. The bonus show is out for this month. This week, I mean, by the time you hear this, unless you're listening to it live, we're also doing our Patreon video show on Tuesday, which is tomorrow as we record this. So if you're watching live, you might be able to watch that. That's for patrons only. And the website is tcgs.co for everything else.
That was a weird song, wasn't it? That was a weird song.
Star Trekking.
Yeah.
Because was it... I assume it wasn't like officially licensed.
No,
They used to play it like...
Yeah,
school discos. Used to play it all the time.
I was going to say, yeah, pretty sure I knew of that before I really had ever seen any Star Trek or knew what it was really.
That's what I thought it was based on. I was like, oh, they made a show from the song.
From that song. Yeah. They really are Star Trekking across the universe. And goodbye. I mean, thanks for living it.
Bye.
Thanks so much for living it. We will catch you next week on the computer game show, where we will be talking about more computer games.
James on holiday, though, I'm afraid.
Yeah, no James next week. We'll catch you.
I'm
we'll
me
catch
next
week.
Week.
Take it easy.
2 weeks in a row.
Love you.
You're going to be all right.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Depends if we invite you back. Piece of trash.
Goodbye.
All right.